Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
And so ends one of the worst United States Championship reigns of all time. Shinsuke Nakamura no longer the United States champion as SmackDown goes off the air with LA Knight reclaiming the title that he never should have lost in the first place. Yeah, I was asking myself before I sat down to do this review, I said, how many times did Nakamura even defend the title since he won it back at Survivor Series? The answer is once. And it was against LA Knight. One other time. Easily one of the worst U.S. title reigns of all time. And we are living in an era where Logan Paul was the United States champion and had, I believe, 3 title defenses in almost 300 days. So I don't know if this was necessarily worse than that, because that was a much longer period of time. But my God, so that's the end of that. Or is it? Because we had something of a controversial finish to the main event tonight. First referee gets misted in the face. Another referee comes out. Nakamura takes a BFT onto a chair. I'm not so sure that we're done with these two. I'm not even sure that by the time we come on the air next week, LA Knight is going to be the United States champion anymore. I don't know what to think. But for the time being, LA Knight is once again the United States champion. But what tonight's show was really built around was not the U.S. title. It was Cody Rhodes and the response to John Cena. Cody Rhodes was betrayed by John Cena at the Elimination Chamber. He was left for dead by The Rock, John Cena, and Travis Scott. What would his response be tonight? Cody Rhodes came out to the ring tonight, and he looked like he was in a fight. You could really thank Travis Scott for that. But he looked like he had gotten the shit kicked out of him, and he was obviously not in a very good mood. We did not get The Rock on the show tonight. We did not get John Cena on the show tonight. Neither of them were advertised, so I was not expecting them. But we did get to hear from Cody, and I thought he struck the right tone for that first promo coming out of what we saw on Saturday. Unfortunately, it's going to be a little while yet before we hear from John Cena, because John Cena is not even advertised until St. Patrick's Day, which is a Monday. So I don't even know when we're going to see him on SmackDown, but we're probably not going to see him until that episode of Raw, which is the week after next. So we're going to have to wait a little while before we get the response from John Cena and we get that first heel promo, which I'm very much looking forward to. I'm just a very impatient person, so I was hoping we would get it a little bit quicker. But in the meantime, we're going to have to just live with Cody cutting promos. He's going to be on Miz TV next week, so we'll get to hear from him again on that show. And the other big thing tonight was the big reveal, finally. We already kind of knew after what happened on Saturday. You left open the possibility maybe they were throwing a little red herring our way. But no, I mean, she came right out tonight and said it right out in the open. Naomi was the culprit. She was the one behind the attack on Jade Cargill, and she would do it again. Her only regret is that she didn't push her harder or sooner. So Naomi is the culprit. Naomi has gone heel. We had, in this segment tonight, where Bianca Belair confronted Naomi, quite the acting back and forth between these two women. And there's going to be a lot of wrestling fans. I already see some of the comments earlier in the chat talking about, oh, you know, they should win an Emmy. They should win an Emmy for their acting. They should win an Oscar for their acting. And again, I've said before, the wrestling bubble is a real thing. It really is. The wrestling bubble is a real thing. when it comes to the acting that you will see on a WWE show, for example, as compared to what you would see from the best shows on television or the best movies out there. Okay, we can't do that. You can't be comparing what you see on these shows to that level of acting. I want to give these two women their flowers because I thought they knocked it out of the park and they had a great segment, but come on now. All right, let's not get carried away here. Just because the tears were streaming down their faces doesn't mean we should start handing out the statuettes, okay? But that was one of the highlights of the show tonight, was the emotion, real emotion that was conveyed in this segment, which really makes it different than your standard WWE promo segment. And I'll talk about what I liked about the segment and what happened at the end and where things appear to be headed. But that was the big reveal tonight. Honestly, it was the two in-ring promo segments. It was that one, and it was the Cody Rhodes segment that really led the way and carried this show tonight. We had two United States Championship matches, I thought, that were solid, if unspectacular. But, I mean, they were solid enough. The rest of the show was boring. So, I mean, you take out the Cody segment, you take out the Bianca and the Naomi thing. This show is not good. With that stuff included, on the whole, it was a decent show. I wasn't really completely enamored with the show, to be honest with you. I keep asking, is it June yet? Like, I'm looking at the calendar. I'm like Jason Voorhees, flipping the calendar pages. When's the next Friday the 13th? I'm counting down the months until June when this show goes back to 2 hours. 3 hours is not helping. Nothing we can do about it in the meantime. But I'm sure that's not really helping the cause here. But that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about mainly those two key segments and some of the other stuff that happened on the SmackDown show. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review. It is March 7th, 2025. I am the Solid Monster. We are, of course, on the road to WrestleMania. And I'm happy to have you with me. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button if you have not already done so. Super chats are open. You will see them popping up on your screen. Joey says, only wrestling should have won an Oscar for real is Mickey Rourke. That's right. Who did he lose to that year? I forgot who he lost to. There was another great movie that came out that year. Mickey Rourke got jobbed. That's the only wrestler that should be getting an Oscar. I'm going to make a bold prediction right now. Dave Bautista will eventually win an Oscar. Dave Bautista will win an Oscar before John Cena or The Rock does. That's my prediction. But yes, I agree. Mickey Rourke did deserve it. Anyway, yes, thank you, Fire Panda. Thank you very much. Super chats are open. Get them on in, and we will go through them a little bit later. Oh, speaking of Fire Panda, I have to give Fire Panda a shout out because Fire Panda pointed this out to me. Here's a little screen cap here from WWE 2K25. And in the background, you'll notice here, as Nia Jax is being crowned queen, a very familiar logo appears in the background. So I am awaiting my royalty checks. You see royalty in the photo there, Queen Nia. I am awaiting my royalty checks. You know, these wrestlers, they get paid big bucks for this video game every year. Where's my cut? But thank you, Fire Panda, for pointing that out to me. I never would have known. I appreciate it. That's where the money is. I'm telling you, it's in those video games. I made the video game before Demolition did. The show opened tonight with a bunch of stars showing up in the back, as they do every week. Drew McIntyre was one of those stars. And as Drew McIntyre is entering the building, he spots Damian Priest off in the distance. And so he makes a beeline for him. He attacks him. He leaves him laying. This, of course, after Priest eliminated him first, embarrassed him in the Elimination Chamber, after dumping him out of the Royal Rumble as well. So he's really got it out for this guy. We're going to talk about McIntyre a little bit later on because McIntyre may have gotten hurt tonight. And I will tell you where it happened and or where I think it happened. Hopefully nothing serious. Hopefully he's okay. But there was something that went down in his match with Jimmy Uso. We'll get into that. But after this opening segment of the night, they cut to Randy Orton. He's back making his way down to the ring. His first time on SmackDown in 4 months since he got dumped on his head by Kevin Owens with a pile driver. Of course, he made his return on Saturday at the Elimination Chamber and tried to punt kick Kevin Owens, but the officials jumped in the way to stop him. So you got to save that for WrestleMania. That's going to be the big spot for WrestleMania. So Orton said a lot of crazy stuff has happened since he's been gone, and he mentioned his old friend John Cena, and the crowd booed. Orton said that Cena has always been on the top of their profession, and now he's just a bottom for The Rock. And I was expecting this to get more of a reaction than it did. Plus, they were in Philadelphia, so I mean, come on. How do you not react to that? But there was no real reaction for it. He says that gives a whole new meaning to the term rock bottom. I don't think the crowd got what he was saying. Otherwise, they would have popped for it. I knew what he was saying. I don't think the fans in Philadelphia really knew what he was saying. Then again, I don't think the fans in Philadelphia were all that vocal tonight. But then he officially welcomed everybody to SmackDown. So we opened the show with Randy Orton calling John Cena a bottom. Orton brought up Kevin Owens and said that they've both done vile things in their careers, but they always did what they did in the name of business. Says that he respects Kevin Owens, the wrestler. It's Kevin Owens, the man, that he has a problem with. And Orton said he'll never underestimate a jealous man. Or he was borrowing from a famous phrase. He said, never underestimate a jealous man's ability to destroy another man. And he thinks Kevin Owens, thinks of Kevin Owens when he thinks of that cliche. Yeah, it's funny. Orton, when he said that on the show, he said, yeah, I'm going to butcher it, but here goes. And he said it fine, but then I butchered it when I was reading it. So fuck me. So Orton brought up how Owens tried to ruin Cody's career because he was jealous about the gold around Cody's waist. And he noted how Owens tried to drop Sami Zayn on his head at the Elimination Chamber, tried to end his career, just because Sami has become a bigger star than Kevin Owens. So Orton said Owens was once his friend, but he dropped Orton with a pile driver because Orton was just trying to protect his friend. And he doesn't know what Owens has to be upset about. Says, enough is never enough for Kevin Owens. He's held every title that there is to hold, he said. And if you were to poll every man and every woman in the back right now and ask them what the most important goal of theirs would be in WWE, he's willing to bet that most of them would say that it would be main eventing WrestleMania. Kevin Owens, he says, just main evented not one but two WrestleManias, one of which was against the greatest of all time in Stone Cold Steve Austin. He said he was told that his spinal fusion 18 months ago would be it for him. That was it. That was going to be the end of his career. Said he busted his ass to come back, but once he got back, he wasn't going to let anybody piss him off. Well, Kevin Owens, guess what? You pissed me off. And he talked about how he RKO'd Owens at Elimination Chamber, but that didn't satisfy him because the voices were talking to him. He heard the voices in his head. They were talking to him for the first time, he says, in about a year and a half. Or not a year and a half. They were talking to him for the first time in 15 years. That's a hell of a lot longer than 18 months. But it's been a while. Remember, that was back during the period where Orton had IED, right? Intermittent explosive disorder, which I think might be a real disorder, actually. But that was the storyline on TV. He could snap at any moment, and the voices were talking to him. That was bald Randy Orton. Bald Randy Orton was a menace. If you didn't live through that period, we're talking like Randy Orton 2008, 2009, 2010. Man was a menace. Arguably, he was at his peak during that period. So he said that he wanted to punt kick Owens so hard that his family wouldn't be able to recognize him. And he said he will prove. And I thought this was a great closing line here. He said what he's going to do, he's going to prove that Pat McAfee is only the second best punter in WWE. And I thought that line was great. So I thought as far as a comeback promo for Orton, I thought that this was very good. And they seem to be really building this WrestleMania match, which is not official yet, but they're going to have a match at WrestleMania. I wouldn't be surprised if Sami Zayn is not even on WrestleMania this year. And they just keep him out selling his injuries. But it looks like this match is going to be centered around the punt kick. The story of he wants to kick this man's head off, and Owens at every turn is going to avoid it as much as he can to really build it up. So when he finally doesn't, we get the big payoff, it gets a big reaction. And I think that's fine. Look at the last couple of matches that Kevin Owens has had. He He had a ladder match with Cody Rhodes at the Royal Rumble, right? And he took a beating in that match. He ended up bloody. Then he goes on to the Elimination Chamber and he has an unsanctioned match with Sami Zayn. All kinds of weapons and plunder and barbed wire chair and everything else. This match here with Orton and Owens, I mean, it's a grudge match. And I suppose if you want to make it no DQ or something, I mean, that's fine. It would fit the story. I don't even think it needs that, though. I think you take a break from all the matches, all the garbage and plunder matches that Owens has been involved in, all the hardcore type matches, and just straight up one-on-one, Orton trying to get revenge and trying to hit that punt kick. It's such a basic story, but it works here. And frankly, I think Kevin Owens could probably use the break after what he's been through. So I like it. They're building it around that punt kick. There was no Owens here on this show tonight. He didn't come out here during this segment. This was Orton's time. His first time in 4 months to come out here with a microphone in his hand and address the audience. And you still have 6 weeks between now and WrestleMania. So plenty of time to get Orton on the show with Owens and you can have them have a back and forth. But I thought that this promo was fine. Now we had our first match of the night, which was Tiffany Stratton, the WWE Women's Champion, taking on Piper Niven. This was a non-title match. Niven came out without Chelsea Green, who we would see later in the show. Niven caught Tiffany, threw her outside, and then she landed a cannonball as the show went to commercial. Later on, Stratton connected with a swanton for a near fall. Niven came back with a boss man slam. She dragged Tiffany to the corner, and she set up for a Vader bomb. Stratton moved, and so Niven crashed and burned. Tiffany hit the prettiest moonsault ever, and she picked up the win. As Tiffany is celebrating, here comes Charlotte Flair from behind. She slides into the ring, and she chop blocks her from behind, takes out her knee, and then applies the figure eight. Tiffany is screaming in pain. Officials run out, and they break things up. The match itself, solid match. The build to Charlotte and Tiffany, it's only been a few weeks. Very basic so far. Charlotte, you know, has warned her that she's going to follow her around. She's going to, you know, wherever she goes, Charlotte's going to be. And so that's what tonight was about, you know, trying to prove her point. If we get this type of build for the next 6 weeks, it's going to be a very long 6 weeks. So I hope that they could come up with some interesting things for them to do. Interesting promo segments. Yeah, the problem with that is that Charlotte Flair, not that Charlotte is a bad promo, she's very hit or miss. There are times where Charlotte, and she projects a certain confidence that not everybody does. She's been doing this for a while. She knows how to speak, but very hit or miss. I mean, you could have a Charlotte Flair promo that is just very robotic and very boring, or you could have a Charlotte Flair promo, if she has the right material, that isn't so bad. The woman came back from 14 months on the shelf with an injury that could have been career-threatening, and tried to explain that to the audience and basically got booed out of the building. So, and it threw her off. It threw her off her game. You never know what you're going to get with her. Tiffany, as far as promos, is not great. It's not her forte. It's not her specialty. And she hasn't evolved her character at all. I've talked about this recently. So I'm not even sure if you have a promo battle between these two, I don't really think it's going to be that great. So I can't even say, oh, well, when they get into the promos and the, you know, the back and forth on the microphone, I don't know that they should be doing that, quite frankly. So whatever they come up with, hopefully it's interesting enough, because we still have 6 weeks to go, you know, between now and WrestleMania. Next week, Charlotte's going to be in action. They had a segment later in the show. B-Fab came up to her. So we have a match next week. They're going to be in Barcelona. So it's going to be Charlotte against B-Fab. I would imagine Tiffany will be there, and Tiffany will extract some measure of revenge on her for what she did tonight. Just be aware of that. You know, they're in Barcelona, Spain for SmackDown next week. The European tour is kicking off next week, and it's like 3 weeks. So there will be spoilers abound, because none of these shows are going to be airing live, at least not on USA. In other countries, it may be airing live on Netflix or other networks. I don't think it is here in the U.S. Somebody can correct me if that's not the case. Because if it was airing, I can't imagine it's airing on Netflix here in the U.S. If the shows were airing in their kind of normal time, whatever country they're in, earlier in the day here in the U.S., I would consider going live earlier. I don't know that that's going to be the case, though, in this country. But just something to be aware of, because once they go into these different countries, these shows are not airing live. Spoilers will be online. Shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Raw will air live, says Ian. Well, I'm talking about SmackDown. I don't know about Raw, but I'll try to find out. I'll try to find out what's going on as far as where and what time it's airing here in this country. Footage aired of the general manager, Nick Aldis, in his office, taking us to a whiteboard. He looked like a professor. He's going to give us a lesson on the tag team division and what's going on, trying to keep track of all the action that's going on with the tag teams here on SmackDown. He goes to this whiteboard. It looked like something out of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So he's got images of each tag team and how they're all interconnected and explaining the current tag team title scene. DIY, they're the tag team champions, all the different challengers, including the Motor City Machine Guns, the Street Profits, Pretty Deadly, Los Garza. So they splice in clips from some of the recent storyline developments. And he said it's been nonstop fighting in chaos. And his solution is giving the Street Profits their long-awaited tag team title match next week. He also announced the Motor City Machine Guns, Los Garza, and Pretty Deadly would have a triple threat match later on tonight in this show to determine who would be effectively and be basically the number two contenders. So the winners of this match would challenge whoever comes out of next week's match at some future date for the tag team titles. So I love how the Street Profits, they come back, and I know they got taken out, you know, presumably by DIY, and so now they're just out for revenge, and they kind of got screwed. I get all that. They come back, though, and they're just wrecking shop. And they even told Nick Aldis, like, we're just going to keep doing this until you give us what we want. And so he did. That's their reward for coming back and beating the shit out of all these other teams. They get first crack at the tag team titles, and all these other teams have to wait their turn, I guess, and get the shot after they do. So the thing with the Street Profits, they're getting a title match next week. I have said so many times they can't possibly lose. Like, they can't lose again. This has got to be their night. And then they lose. So I'm going to try a little reverse psychology this time. I don't think the Street Profits are going to win the tag team titles next week. Maybe if I say that, the opposite will happen. And they will actually win the titles in Barcelona next week. So fingers crossed, because these guys have had so many shots in the last, even the last several months, forget the last like 4 years, and they have failed to win the titles every single time. I thought they were building to some sort of multi-team match of WrestleMania. They might be. Very easily could still happen. But you're giving them a title shot next week. How are you going to send them in there and have them lose again? How many times can they lose? And now they have a new attitude, you know, since they've come back. I don't want to say they're heels because I feel like people are still cheering them. I don't see how they go in there and lose again, but I've been proven wrong before. So I'm going to take the opposite approach. I'm going to say they're not going to win. Let's see what happens. But we had the Motor City Machine Guns. We had Los Garza, and we had Pretty Deadly, triple threat match. Angel tagged himself in. He ate a drop kick from Kit Wilson. Angel came back with a drop kick of his own, and then he ripped his pants off. I wish I could do that at work. Alex Shelley tagged himself. Well, I work here, so I mean, who am I doing it for? Alex Shelley tagged himself in. Birdo tagged in as well. None of this mattered because all six guys ended up brawling. Los Garza hit stereo moonsaults on the outside. All six men were down. They went to a commercial. So coming out of that, Alex Shelley, he fires up, and he tags in Chris Sabin. He comes in. He cleans house. Sabin hit a tornado DDT on Birdo for a two count. Elton Prince tags himself in. Things break down again. Sabin hits his dive to the floor onto the other two teams. Now the Machine Guns, they're setting up for their Skull and Bones finish. Elton Prince, though, gets a backslide on Chris Sabin, and he pins him. And so Pretty Deadly now are the number two contenders. I almost said number one. Number two contenders for the tag team titles. I'm watching this match, and I'm listening to the crowd, which is virtually dead. Boy, whatever luster was on the Motor City Machine Guns, boy, is that gone. Not that they were coming out every single week and getting these monster reactions, right? They were starting to get over, you know, pretty well. But now it's just like, okay, you know, they've assimilated into the tag team division, and they just feel like another team. They're just another team now. Good for Pretty Deadly. You know, they pick up wins so little that them picking up this win today for them feels like a big deal. I don't think it's going to really yield anything. I don't see them winning the titles. But, you know, look, they have to set up challengers for down the road, so they're going to get their shot at some undetermined date. I like that they have had all the teams in the division angry at each other's throats. And you saw them all listed on the whiteboard tonight. And you see, they have a number of teams, right? The Machine Guns, DIY, Street Profits, Los Garza, Pretty Deadly. Okay? It's a solid core of tag teams. And yet, I sit here, and I'm talking about this tag team division, and it just feels as cold as ever. As cold as ever. They desperately need some sort of shakeup with this. And I'm not going to say that it's much better on Monday, because it's not. You know, Mondays they have the War Raiders, and they have the Judgment Day, and they have the Creeds. We might have the Lucha Brothers soon. Honestly, the Lucha Brothers is exactly the sort of team that this division needs. I just would hate for it to drag down the Lucha Brothers. That's the question. Are the Lucha Brothers enough? If Phoenix comes in and they decide to put them together as a tag team, are the Lucha Brothers enough to give this division on either show a real shot in the arm? Is it going to make a difference, or is it just going to drag them down? I feel like it's going to drag them down. But that's the kind of team that they could really use right now. But whether they do that or they call teams up from NXT, because they have a few teams down there, they need to just, it's not clicking right now. You know, I feel like I should be more excited about this, and I'm not. And neither were a lot of the fans, because you could just listen to the reactions during so many of these tag team matches. So something has to change as far as this whole tag team situation goes. I don't know if that's going to happen before WrestleMania. Maybe coming out of WrestleMania, they'll decide to call some new teams up. But something has to change, because this should feel hotter than it does. And the reality is it just doesn't right now. Eminem activating Bree mode. Look at Brian. Brian says, Lucha Bros to the rescue. I'm not sure if the Lucha Bros can even rescue this, my friend. I'm really not sure. By the way, I should mention we have a Super Chat goal tonight for a possible second round of Be the Booker, which we activated the other night. We're already halfway there. So we'll see if we can pull it off again tonight. But now we get to what was one of the best segments on the entire show. It was Bianca Belair, the winner of the Women's Elimination Chamber match on Saturday. She's going to WrestleMania. She's challenging for the Women's World Championship. At this moment, she's challenging Io Sky. They even got the graphic up for it tonight. I'm sure Rhea Ripley will find her way into that match. Because if you think they're leaving off their biggest female star, who's perfectly healthy, we're just going to leave her off the WrestleMania card this year, you're a fool. She will find her way into that match, but at this moment, it's just Bianca and Io one-on-one after what happened on Monday night. Now, you would think that, okay, Bianca's going to come out here tonight, and she's going to be all smiles, right? Because she's going to WrestleMania, and she's going to be smiling, and she's going to be twirling the braid. But no, because she was stuck in her pod watching one of her best friends be beaten to a pulp on Saturday by Jade Cargill. So she came out tonight. She was dressed in black. She looked like she was on her way to a funeral. There was no smiling. There was no laughing. There was no braid twirling. There was no skipping the way it should be. She was somber. She was melancholy. She was forlorn. As she made her way down, I'm trying to think of other words here, but that's how she was when she came down to the ring. So she said that she feels like she should be on top of the world right now. But instead, it's hard to do that when two of your friends are fighting. She talked about how close she's become with Naomi after they formed their tag team. And she said that she doesn't believe that Naomi would attack Jade. She can't bring herself to believe it. And she sounded, as she's speaking, you could hear her voice cracking, and it sounded like she was about to break into tears. So she said that she needed answers. And so she asked Naomi to come out. And Naomi walked out to the ring. She was wearing a bedazzled neck brace, which she was wearing on the red carpet the other night to one of the red carpet premieres. They had several this week for the new Queen of the Ring movie, which I believe Naomi has a role in. So the crowd booed, and Naomi, or she asked Naomi, what the hell is going on? And Naomi said, it's not what it looks like. In fact, it's exactly what it looks like. But she said, it's not what it looks like. She asked Bianca, who stepped up when Jade couldn't compete? And Bianca told Naomi, just stop. She asked her, did you attack Jade? And Naomi said, all the outside noise, it's just a distraction, and we need to focus on getting our tag team titles back and getting you to WrestleMania. This woman was tap dancing around more than Fred Astaire. She was stalling and doing everything she could not to answer the actual question. And so Bianca told Naomi, look, stop all the talking and everything else. I want to talk about Jade. And she told her, look, right now this is all about Jade. And so Naomi responds, she goes, Jade. She said, before asking Bianca if you want to know how she really feels about her, Naomi said, look, I kept quiet to avoid hurting your feelings or hurting Jade's feelings, but I feel like Jade was piggybacking off of you the entire time. She said that she had been forced to watch someone like Jade succeed off of Bianca's hard work. And Naomi said that she let Bianca and Jade get their flowers, and she started to get very emotional. This is where the acting part of this segment came into play. Well, you see, I mean, Naomi, she was in Queen of the Ring, so now she's an actress, right? She might even have her SAG card now. I don't know. Yeah, you can get your health benefits for there. So she's starting to get very emotional as she's speaking. She said that she doesn't give a damn about Jade because Jade doesn't give a damn about Bianca. And so now the two of them start talking over each other to where you can't even really understand what they're saying. Like, literally, they are yelling and talking over each other and not even taking a breath. And the crowd is also like, wait, hold on a second here. Someone needs to pipe down. Like, we can't even hear what you two are saying. But actually, this is one of the parts of the promo that I liked because it actually felt genuine, right? So many times in these promo segments, one person speaks, and it doesn't matter how horrible or horrendous the things are that they say, the other person just has to stand there and just stare at them and listen to them and wait their turn until the other person is done talking. This actually felt like a real argument between two people. Watch any reality show on television. Even the WWE ones, right? This is the sort of disagreement that you would hear, right? Two people just, you know, two women just yelling and talking over each other, right? It felt real. It felt authentic. So Bianca said, it's a yes or it's a no. You still haven't answered the question. Naomi starts crying. Actual tears are streaming down her face. Maybe she had a thumbtack in her boot. And she started stepping on the thumbtack. I don't know, but whatever it was, she was able to get the waterworks going. And so the tears are flowing, and she says, finally, I did it. And that drew a big reaction from the crowd, and it got a big reaction out of me, too. And I'll tell you why. It was just so perfect that of all the people to be in the ring, and we had this whodunit storyline, and it pays off with her in the ring saying, I did it, right? Of course, it had to be Rikishi's daughter-in-law. Of all the people, Rikishi's daughter-in-law being the one to be in the ring to say that is perfect. Absolutely perfect. I don't know if that's the reason they did it. Probably not, but that's the way it worked out. And I just thought, man, you could not have picked a better person in this spot other than Jimmy or Jay, I guess, or one of the 15 kids that Rikishi has. So Naomi said she did it for Bianca, right? She didn't do it for The Rock. She did it for Bianca. So now Bianca is getting very emotional, and Bianca begins crying as well. and she's yelling at Naomi, stop, right? Naomi tries to like grab her. Don't touch me, right? Don't, she doesn't want to be touched. She said it hurts so bad because she loves Naomi. She said things between her and Naomi are done. You and me, that's it. We're finished. We're done. And she walks out of the ring. And Naomi is still crying and she's begging Bianca or B. She kept saying B. And she's telling Bianca, don't walk away. She's shouting at her that she wished she would. She said, I wish I would have pushed Jade harder. I wished I would have pushed her sooner. And Naomi yells at the, you know, the crowd. Everybody turned on her. And then finally, Bianca's still walking and she's got her back turned. And Naomi tells her, you're just an ungrateful bitch. So when she calls her an ungrateful bitch, that's when Bianca begins to turn around. And it looks like maybe she's going to come back down to the ring. But as she's turning around, we see on the screen behind her, they cut to the parking garage or the parking lot, and a car pulls up, and it's Jade Cargill. And she comes out of the car, the camera follows her as she marches her way through the gorilla position on her way to the ring. So she walks out on stage. Bianca is standing right there. Jade stops. She turns and looks over at Bianca. And Bianca has a look on her face. It's like she nodded like, do what you got to do. And Jade turns and she continues to storm down to the ring. And she chases Naomi out of the ring. Eventually, Jade is able to catch up with her when Naomi was trying to basically dive over the barricade by the timekeeper's area. So Jade grabs her and pulls her back over and runs her into the announce desk. She runs Naomi into the ring post. She puts her in the ring. She drops Naomi with her jaded finish and then stands over her as the segment ends. A lot is going to be made of this segment as far as the acting and all that. Some people may like it. Some people may not like it. I'm on the side of I really like this segment because it was different. We got a different level of emotion in this segment than we typically do on these shows. And they were able to cry and they were able to kind of, whatever, manipulate things into you believe that these two women, it really felt like these two friends are just devastated over what has happened here. And Bianca in particular, and I think I mentioned this during my review on Saturday, but if not, I'll mention it now. The job that she did when she was trapped inside the pod and she was banging on the glass and freaking out, and they put a video up on their YouTube channel showing they had a camera in each of the pods. It's like a 10-minute video. And so you see clips of like John Cena in his pod and Punk and everybody. And just you could hear them and see them. And they had a camera in her pod. And so you could see the moment that Jade went after Naomi and how Bianca just started freaking out. But she was freaking out in a realistic way. Like if she saw something happening to a friend of hers, like this is how somebody would react. And so that's how I felt about this segment. Yeah. Some people may have thought it was cheesy or over the top, but this felt like if this were a real life situation, this is how it would play out. This is how these two women would sound. They would be devastated. They would be emotional. They would be angry and upset. They would be talking over each other. And that's how it played out here. You know, there was no physicality between them. There's always time for that. But I thought they did a great job. I really did. Now, clearly they were reciting dialogue that was written for them. But I thought the way they delivered it, I thought was as authentic as you could possibly ask for. And that's all I ask for when it comes to these types of segments. I don't want to feel like someone's just reading something that they memorized, or they're trying to get emotional, they're trying to cry, and it's just coming off really poorly. I thought they did a great job here. And the question now, of course, is what's next for Jade and Naomi? Because this is the second time now in a row, in less than a week, that Jade has laid waste to this woman. I mean, she has beaten the shit out of her two different times and stood tall and dominant. If that's going to be a WrestleMania match, then Naomi is going to need some help. And so there's still time. We may yet get other people, you know, because Naomi now just lost a friend in Bianca. So there's still time for her to enlist help from some other people against Jade. We maybe will get Lash and Jakara from NXT, or it could be anybody else. But maybe she enlists some help between now and Mania. But she's going to have to get some measure of revenge herself, because you can't just have her getting her ass kicked every week. Then there's no point in having a WrestleMania match. Like, at this moment right now, there is no need for a WrestleMania match. She's already kicked this woman's ass twice. So that's what I'm interested in seeing. How are they going to play things out over the next 6 weeks? Now, Naomi gave an interview, and I don't remember who it was with or where it was, but I took the quote from it about turning heel. If she ever turned heel, this is what she said in this interview. This was only last month. I would want to go all in with it. If that does mean me going to the darker side, I don't want to throw that away because it would be a big deal. I still think I'm a very safe woman on the roster where you can have a place everywhere. I'm an established and strong babyface. If I was to get away from that, we have to go all the way. I got to be nasty. I got to be dirty. I have to be something that you all haven't seen before. Everything has to change. I'm up for it. I would love that. And I think that's exactly what she needs. All this glow shit, she's got to drop it. There's no more feel the glow. The glow is dead. She should change her music. She should change her entrance. It's everything that I said about John Cena. It's the same exact thing. John Cena just turned heel. That's obviously a much bigger deal. But the next time we see John Cena, it cannot be the same John Cena that we always see. It can't be the jorts and the hat and the t-shirt and the same music. Everything has to change. If that's how Naomi feels about going heel, well, guess what? Here we are. So, everything has to change. And if she wants to throw herself all in on this heel turn and get nasty and vicious, great. Because that's exactly what her character needs. And that's exactly what she's going to have to do after what happened to her twice this week. She's going to have to get nasty. You know what she's going to have to do? She's going to have to push Jade off some other platform. She's going to have to do it again, is what she's going to have to do. But I thought that the work that these two ladies put into this segment was very well done. And Jade, so far, two appearances, she comes out like a badass. I mean, she's looked fantastic. But you're going to have to even the odds a little bit. It can't just be this one-sided if you want to get people excited to see the actual match. Now, Drew McIntyre was walking backstage, and he ran into Byron Saxton, who said that McIntyre's attack on Damian Priest earlier in the show was unprovoked. And McIntyre noted how Priest stole a pin on him in the Elimination Chamber, and Drew said that because of Damian, he has nothing to give now except violence on the way to WrestleMania. Tonight, it starts with Jimmy Uso, the black sheep of the family. And that led into Naomi about to run over Jade. I guess that would be the next step, right? She pushed her onto a car, and so the next step would be to run her down with one. Like Rikishi did. All she has to do is go to her father-in-law and say, teach me your ways. Remember what happened when Rikishi went heel? He got the new music. I'm a bad man. I'm a bad man. Right? She's a bad woman. Go to Rikishi. He'll be able to tell her everything she needs to do. He'll map it all out for her. We had Braun Strowman against Solo Sikoa. Another offspring of Rikishi. I said this guy's got 15 kids. I feel like every other week I hear about a new son that I never heard of before. There was another one a few weeks ago. I saw a picture of him. He's perfect for the wrestling business. Like, Rikishi is like a walking human performance center. How many more sons does he have? Who am I missing? Nick Aldis is going to have to bust out that whiteboard. We're going to have a family tree just with Rikishi and his sons. So we had Solo Sikoa here wrestling Braun Strowman. By the way, the fall off of Solo Sikoa needs to be studied. This man, think of all the time that was devoted to this man after Roman Reigns lost the title last year, coming out of WrestleMania, and Solo started his own bloodline. This man headlined SummerSlam. Everything was built around him and his bloodline, right? And all the way up until the Ulafala match against Roman. And he comes out here now against Braun Strowman. And obviously, he's already been surpassed. I mean, he was surpassed on day one by Jacob Fatu when Jacob came in. But you see him now, and he comes out here, and he just feels like another guy. I'm not even saying that that's not the spot he should be in right now. I'm just saying, like, it's amazing, though, like, where he was slotted and how they were booking him and how he felt then as compared to where he is now. It's incredible. So Strowman took Solo down, sent him to the outside. Strowman went for the Strowman Express. Didn't get it, though. Solo ran him into the ring steps when he came charging in. Because that's what Braun does. I mean, Braun runs into things, right? Remember back in the day when he feuded with Roman Reigns, that was the joke on him. Like, all he does is run into things. He would run, he ran into a wall, he would run into the turnbuckles, he ran into the back of an ambulance. So he ran into the ring steps here. And then he took a running hip attack up against the barricade, and the show went to a commercial break. Show came back. Strowman was on the receiving end of a headbutt and a Samoan drop, and he followed that with a hip attack in the corner. Solo went for another one, but instead he ran right into a big boot, and Strowman followed that up with a running crossbody block off the ropes. Solo rolls to the outside, and this time Braun is ready for him, and he follows him out to the floor, and you all know what came next. I don't even need to tell you what came next. Do I? Do I have to tell you what came next? All aboard. The Strowman Express. Yes, it is in service. Late on a Friday night. Usually the line, like, it's not running this late. But tonight, I don't know. I guess it was running. So anyway, he hits the Strowman Express, mows him down. Back inside, Strowman lifts up Solo. Solo slips out, and he runs Strowman into the corner a few times. Solo ran at Strowman, but Braun picked him up into his signature power slam. He had the match won. Until Tama Tonga ran in, and the referee threw the match away, and we got the disqualification. Hooray. So Strowman attacks Tama Tonga. Now we hear Jacob Fatu's music, and Fatu walks out to the ring. And we have a stare down. They're both on opposite ends of the ring, Fatu on one side, Strowman on the other. Both men get up onto the apron, and the crowd gets loud with the Fatu chants. They're chanting for Jake. They're not chanting for Strowman. They're chanting for Jacob Fatu. And they get into the ring and they start brawling, and Fatu super kicks Strowman to the floor. He went for a dive through the ropes. His feet clipped, I guess, the middle rope, because he lost all of his momentum and he kind of stalled out. Thankfully, Strowman kind of caught him, or else he could have gotten hurt. So that didn't look good. But they recovered quickly. And Strowman chokeslammed him onto the announce desk, and he went over the announce desk. But then Fatu popped right back up. Like 10 seconds later, Strowman's posing. Right, he's posing. And so Fatu now is back up to his feet already, and he's standing on top of the announce desk. And he comes flying off with a leaping elbow strike, wipes out Strowman. So Fatu throws him over the barricade. Now they're fighting into the crowd. And eventually they find their way onto the top of a couple of equipment cases that are just sitting right there. Fatu tries to set up for a Samoan drop. Instead, Strowman chokeslams Fatu through two tables down below. And the second table, like, he broke it, but he broke it with the back of his head. Like, the back of his head went right through the table. So even then, Strowman's still standing on top of the equipment case. I don't know, 20 seconds later, maybe 30 seconds later, Fatu's back up to his feet. He's woozy, and he's being held back by officials, but he's back up to his feet. Like, you can't put this man down. Actually, you know, he's Samoan, so I guess if he lands on the back of his head, it's probably not going to have much of an effect. This, to me, Strowman and Fatu, this has to be a television match, right? The blow-off match has to be a TV match, because I still feel like the direction for WrestleMania has to be Solo and Jacob. Solo's stock, though, has fallen so much, I'm not even convinced he's going to have a match at WrestleMania. I almost hope he does, just because Jacob should have one. And if it's not against Solo, I don't know what Jacob does. But, like, doesn't it kind of feel that way? Like, are we really convinced that Solo Sikoa will even have a WrestleMania match? Probably, but I don't feel as confident about it as I did even a few weeks ago. But that has to be, if they're going to do anything, that has to be the direction for WrestleMania. But, you know, the Fatu chants, they grow louder and louder. Every single week, you had to know here in Philly that he would be the favorite, because he was such a prominent part of the MLW roster, and MLW did many shows at the old ECW arena. So, of course, I mean, he's popular everywhere, but in Philadelphia, he's going to be double popular. So you definitely heard those chants from the crowd tonight. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You know what I would tell someone if they said that they were going online with that ExpressVPN? I would tell them to take out an ad on a giant billboard. And on that giant billboard, they should plaster all of their passwords and all of their credit card information. And then they would ask me, why the hell would I do that? And I would tell them, because that's what going online with that ExpressVPN is like. It's like broadcasting your personal information for all the world to see. You need a VPN because every time you connect to a network that's not encrypted, whether it's in a restaurant, an airport, a hotel, your online data is not secure. Any hacker on that same network could easily gain access to and steal your private data, like passwords and credit card details. You would be surprised by how little technical knowledge it takes to hack someone. A kid in middle school could do it. And even worse, they could turn around and sell your data on the dark web. ExpressVPN stops hackers from stealing your data by creating a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. ExpressVPN is the best VPN because it's super secure and easy to use. Just fire up the app and click one button and you're protected. Plus, it works on all devices, including phones, laptops, and tablets. And for customers in the U.S., ExpressVPN comes with Identity Defender, a new suite of tools to get your data removed from data brokers, alert you when your data is compromised on the dark web, and even insure you against data theft for up to $1 million. You know, for me, as I travel more for House of Glory, whether I'm in Chicago, Philadelphia, or anywhere else, I'm away from home. And because of that, I've been making sure that I have ExpressVPN enabled on my smartphone at all times, just to give me that peace of mind knowing that I'm protected. And that's important to me. With all these stories about planes falling out of the sky and near misses on runways, like, I'm stressed out enough about traveling in general, okay? I don't need to also worry about the data on my phone being seen by someone who shouldn't be seeing it. Not only that, you've heard me say this before, I've been using ExpressVPN on my iPad to connect to a Canadian server so I can watch Monday Night Raw without commercials, and I can see the segments that take place during the commercial breaks. So if you're a WWE fan, that's another reason to use ExpressVPN. Secure your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster to find out how you can get up to 4 months extra free. expressvpn.com/solomonster. LA Knight was interviewed in the back by Byron Saxton. And Knight said, I guess it was all gas and no brakes when Fatu went through those tables. So tonight, I'm not going to have to worry about him getting involved in my match. He talked about how it would take only one BFT to reset Nakamura back to factory settings. He said, Philadelphia is the birthplace of the United States, and it would be the birthplace of his rebirth as the U.S. champion. He said, Old Glory needed better representation, and he would provide that, and then everybody can pledge allegiance to the U.S. champion. So backstage, elsewhere, Chelsea Green was dressed like Cactus Jack, and she was trying to revive Piper Niven, who was in rough shape from her match earlier. And I'm watching her, and I'm like, why? You had a fucking match with Tiffany Stratton. She looked like she was hit by a car. What? So Zelina Vega, you would think this woman was in an exploding barbed wire death match. Zelina Vega shows up. She says that she would be coming for the winner of Chelsea's match with Meechan, which was coming up next. And Chelsea grabbed Piper by the tie that she was wearing and dragged her through the backstage area, and they made their way to the ring because up next, our first of two United States Championship matches on this show, Chelsea Green defends the U.S. title in a street fight, because, of course, we're in Philadelphia. When you are in Philadelphia, you have to get hardcore. Those are the rules. It's part of the wrestling bylaws. She was defending her U.S. title against Meechan. Here's a match we haven't seen before. So Meechan breaks out a cookie sheet early on. Then she empties a trash can, throws a bunch of weapons into the ring, including a crowbar, a chain, a chair, a kendo stick, throws the trash can itself into the ring. Meechan hits a drop toe hold onto an open chair. That's the move that Sami Zayn did to Kevin Owens at Elimination Chamber, only it was a barbed wire chair. Chelsea came back, though, with the trash can shot. Meacham backdropped her onto the chains. And then Meacham went under the ring. She pulled out a table. Chelsea stopped her, pushed the table back under the ring. After a break, Meacham grabbed a fire extinguisher and sprayed Chelsea with it. And then she grabbed a table from under the ring again. Niven was out there, Piper Niven, and so she attacked Meacham, slammed her onto the announce desk. In the ring, Chelsea went to the top, and with Niven holding... Now, Meacham is down in the corner, and Piper Niven is holding her head up against the turnbuckle. And so she's holding her... Or up against the trash can. And Chelsea Green hits a coast-to-coast into the trash can. Got a good near fall out of that. At this point, here comes B-Fab, and she walks out. She picks up a kendo stick. B-Fab worked over Piper with the stick. The two of them ended up into the crowd. Now Chelsea's all alone. She's looking. There's no Piper Niven anymore. She's all by herself. So back in the ring, Meacham had her own kendo stick. She worked over Chelsea with it. Then she created a pile of chairs in the middle of the ring. She got a table into the ring. Meacham hits Eat Defeat, and Chelsea very gently rolls on top of the table that has been set up. Somewhere in here, one of the table legs breaks. So the table itself doesn't break, but I mean, it kind of did. And so now the table is sagging. Meacham looks at this and she just goes, she's like a walking emoji. She's like this, because what is she going to do? She doesn't have time to go back under the ring and retrieve another table and set it up. I mean, come on. I mean, we're on a 3-hour show here. You think we have time? So Meacham said, fuck it, I'll just put her through this one. I'm going to leave her there. And she climbs up to the top rope, and she comes off with a senton. She does put Chelsea through the table, seemingly has the match won. She covers this woman. All of a sudden, another person outside dressed in a hoodie, and we can't see who it is, reaches into the ring and drags Chelsea out and saves her title, basically, is what she did. So she breaks up the fall. And then she pulls the hood down to reveal Alba Fire. And so Alba Fire gets in the ring and gives Meacham a Canadian Destroyer onto the pile of chairs, places Chelsea on top of Meacham, and Chelsea Green pins Meacham to retain the United States Championship. After the match was over, Alba presented the U.S. title to Chelsea Green and saluted her. That is her champion. The Rock has his champion, right? He wanted his champion. His champion is going to be John Cena. Alba Fire has her champion in Chelsea Green. I called this one. You guys know this. I called that one as soon as Isla Dawn got released. And there was a segment on the show many, many, many weeks ago in the back where Chelsea made a comment to Piper Niven about how we need... Oh, I know what it was. A bunch of women came up to Chelsea as they were standing in the back. It was B-Fab. It was Meacham. And they talked some shit and walked away. Then Zelina walked up to them, talked some shit and walked away. And Chelsea turned to Piper and said, we need more security. And I thought, well, they could add Alba Fire to this trio because she has no tag team partner now. What the hell are they going to do with Alba Fire? Now, that was a while ago. We haven't seen her since until tonight. And so, yes, indeed, Alba Fire is now part of what is going to be a trio going forward with Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. And honestly, it's a fine role for her because it gets her on TV. It gives her something to do. Otherwise, she's in the back guarding catering. So you have two choices, right? You could either do that or you could be on TV and you could be a gopher for Chelsea Green. And eventually, when she gets sick and tired of being a gopher for her, she could turn on her and then she could challenge her for the title. At least it's something for her to do. As far as the match itself, I thought it was fine. I loved the Chelsea Cactus Jack cosplay. She was all dressed up as Cactus Jack. She had the flannel pant or the flannel shirt, the sweatpants, the Wanted Dead or Alive shirt, which I think on the back had her likeness on it. Cactus Jack never looked this good, I'll tell you that much. So she was decked out as Cactus Jack here in Philadelphia. The thing with the match, we get so many of these like garbage plunder type matches that it takes a lot to really stand out. Like the coast-to-coast spot was really cool. And again, they ended up having a solid match, but you know, again, it's like every other one that we see every single week, whether it's WWE, whether it's AEW, we get this match every week. Dude, we just had an Elimination Chamber pay-per-view with an unsanctioned match that had a barbed wire chair and tables and all kinds of crap. You know, I mean, fucking War Games. You can't get any of these women to come down into this War Games match without first going underneath the ring to bring toys into the ring. I feel like we get this every week. It could be hard to make it feel special or different. So my big takeaway from this match is going to be the fact that Chelsea Green was dressed as Cactus Jack. That's going to be it. We go backstage. Santos Escobar, he is scolding Los Garza for failing to win the triple threat earlier tonight. Escobar says things needed to start to change for Legado del Fantasma. Yeah, no shit. He said that he didn't expect it. This time he was demanding it. And then he walked away. And as he walked away, Angel turns to Berto. And he says, you know, he's got a point. So then he leaves. Berto is all by himself. Here comes Andrade. And Andrade tells him he deserves better. I have no idea where any of this is going. We may end up with a Andrade-Escobar match, which I'm sure would be very good. Beyond that, I have no idea. Andrade was having segments in the back with The Miz. And then that seemingly just got dropped. So now he's talking to Berto. Okay, whatever. Don't really care, but we'll see where it goes. So then they aired footage of the Elimination Chamber. And Cody Rhodes telling The Rock, actually, better than me even saying it, this is what Cody Rhodes said to The Rock.
Go fuck yourself!
That's what he said. Now, of course, they didn't air that on USA, but that's what he told The Rock. And then we all know what happened after that. John Cena kicks him in the balls, hits him in the head with a watch, not brass knucks, Cole. Hits him in the head with knucks. Hits him in the head hard, twice, with that title belt. I'm surprised, honestly, I'm surprised that didn't fuck him up. I'm surprised Cody didn't get his head split open from that belt shot. I mean, you could hear the impact of that title. Then Travis Scott got a little carried away. I don't know if it was a punch or an open hand slap, but boy, he caught Cody good. And to illustrate how good he caught Cody, and this, honestly, this photo here doesn't even really do it justice, but this was Cody Rhodes on your screen here when he made his way out to the ring. He was sporting a wicked black eye. Calling it a black eye doesn't even really do it justice. Like, the whole left side of his face around the eye was all bruised up. And you'll notice there in his left ear is an earplug that he took out, I believe, after his pyro went off. So it looks like he did get his eardrum ruptured. You can thank Travis Scott for that. So he gets into the ring, and the crowd chanted, Cena sucks. Cody asked Philadelphia what they want him to talk about. And he said it was obvious, because what happened on Saturday was the most watched moment in WWE history. He said it was actually the most watched moment in pro wrestling history. They claimed over 500 million social media views. So it probably was. Right, in today's day and age. I mean, think about this. If social media were around back in 96, when Hogan turned heel and the NWO was formed, how many social views do you think that would have gotten? Didn't exist back then. So it probably was the most watched moment in wrestling history. So he talked about how his four-year-old daughter asked him when he came home, what happened to your face? And it wasn't a conversation that he was ready to have. And so he told a Cody lie and told her that he ran into a wall. He said it wasn't entirely untrue, because he ran into a wall designed by the final boss, Travis Scott and John Cena. He said he drove John around back in the day for 2 years and he tried to soak up all the knowledge that he could. He said he thought Cena was a hero. He said one day he'll tell his daughter what actually happened. A great man who did great things and said he would never give up, gave up. And Cody apologized for the language that he used on Saturday. He said that if Cena doesn't owe it to Cody, he owes it to his fans to know why. If you had Jim Ross on the call on Saturday, you know exactly what he would have been saying. If you have prime Jim Ross on that call at Elimination Chamber, that's how they go off the air. Why, damn it? Tell me why. We still don't know the why. So Cody said Cena will have a well-crafted retort. Cena will feel bulletproof and justified, but there is no justification for what he did. And he said that he was aware that he was talking to the whole world, but for those in the room here in Philadelphia, he wanted to remind everybody that Philly was the one place that Dusty was always afraid to perform in. He said Dusty even painted his face like the Road Warriors when he came out just to make sure he would get cheered. And Cody never had the same fear, because it was in Philadelphia when he was out there with a mustache on his face climbing a ladder that the crowd chose him. And they rode with him. I was at that show. Cody was over that night, and people were pissed when he got pushed off the ladder and didn't win the Money in the Bank briefcase. I was there that night, so I can vouch for that. We were all disappointed when he got pushed off. And he said, then last year in Philadelphia, right, this was where he won the championship. This is where he finished his story last year. He said WrestleMania 40, the crowd cheered him, and they chose him again. Speaking of WrestleMania last year, you can watch it back and turn up the volume. You turn up the audio, he says. You can hear John Cena celebrating with him in the ring and Cena pointing at the title when Cody held it and telling him, it gets heavier every day. Well, John, here I am, still holding the title, and it's not heavy enough. I've held it for over 300 days, and he knows Cena is watching. He knows Cena thought his successor had to be just like him. Look like him, talk like him. Well, the title weighs nothing to him. Cena might think he's the last of his kind, but here stands Cody. And since it seems like Cena wants some, you can come and get some. And he threw the microphone down in a rage. I thought that this was excellent stuff. He struck the perfect tone in the follow-up to what happened to him. It was almost like this silent rage. You know, he didn't come out there hollering and screaming. He got a little more vocal towards the end there. But he walked out there again. His face is all bruised up. He looks like he was in a fight. And he's angry. You know, he didn't come out and do the whoa. He wasn't all smiles. He wasn't signing autographs on his way to the ring. He was stoic. He was upset. He was betrayed. He was embarrassed and betrayed in front of the world. And he showed just enough fire. You want to save the real fire when we get that face-to-face. Tonight, unfortunately, was not that night. We will get at least one face-to-face in the ring between these two. When that happens, that's where the gloves come off. And we really need to see them go toe-to-toe. And that's going to be very interesting, because John Cena, if John Cena is on his A-game, John Cena is not somebody that you want to go toe-to-toe with in like an insult battle in a promo. Roman Reigns found that out years ago, okay? And that was a very different Roman Reigns than the one that was the big dog. And he got eaten up by John Cena. He got embarrassed by John Cena on the microphone. If we get that John Cena, but like in real heel form, Cody's great. I don't know. I don't know how Cody goes toe-to-toe with John Cena on the mic. That's going to be very interesting. Cody, I feel like, could hold his own, but I also don't look at Cody as on that same level. Right? Maybe he'll prove me wrong. But that's why I want to see that. And that's why I wanted Cena to be a heel if they were going to do this match. I just didn't think it was actually going to happen. But I said, look, if John Cena is the chosen one for Cody at WrestleMania, it's fucking boring if you do babyface against babyface, right? If you turn him heel, all of a sudden, you flip the script, things get a lot more interesting. But we need him to be on the show. And of course, tonight he wasn't on the show. We have another, I want to say maybe 10 days or so, right? 9, 10 days, 11, somewhere in that range. John Cena is not advertised for another show until Monday Night Raw, March 17th in Brussels. They're going to be in Belgium. They're about to kick off this big European tour. And think about this. You know, John Cena is advertised for March 17th, March 24th, March 31st, all Mondays. I would have to think he'll have some SmackDowns added. I think he was added to some in April, but I'm talking about this month. It is a little strange. You know, we're talking about Cody and the WWE title. That's on SmackDown, but he's booked for these Raw dates. but they're all international. They're not in any of the U.S. states. So they're going to be in Belgium. That's going to probably be his first promo where he explains himself. After that, they go to Glasgow. And then the week after that, they're in London. And you know how rowdy these international crowds could be. So it'll be a lot of fun, but it's just kind of funny that when we finally get to start seeing Cena on TV, it's not going to be anywhere in this country. It's going to be in all these other different places. But when we get that first heel Cena promo, it's going to hit like crack. You have to imagine that this man has wanted to go heel for so long. He thought it was going to happen like 12, 13 years ago. It didn't happen. And now this is it. Like, this is it. This is his retirement year. If you take him at his word, he's not wrestling beyond December. He's got a very finite period of time left to do this. And you still got to leave time for the redemption arc, right? Because he's not retiring as a heel. So it's a very short heel run. But he's got to be dying to do this for years. And I'm sure there's a bunch of things that have been bouncing around his head. Like, if I ever get to cut that first heel promo, I know exactly what I'm going to say. Because we still don't know what tack they're going to take with the story. It could be as simple as me winning number 17 is what's best for business. Right? And The Rock's all about business. And so that's it. Because think about it, right? All the things that Rock was promising Cody, more social media followers, make your dreams come true, right? Probably get him into movies and stuff. John Cena already has a movie career. Like, The Rock is Hollywood, so is John Cena. What can The Rock give John Cena that John Cena doesn't already have, except pave the way for him to win number 17? John Cena has money. John Cena has fame. The reason we don't see John Cena on TV right now is because he's filming a fucking movie. He doesn't need any of that shit from The Rock. But The Rock can help him get number 17. It all comes down to him winning number 17 and breaking that record. That's the story. But Cena could also dig down and say, look, you know, for so many years, you guys gave me shit. You guys would chant all these things at me. And I tried to be that guy and give you everything you wanted. And I kept my mouth shut. And I was a company guy. Do you know what? Fuck this. Fuck this and fuck you, right? Maybe that's the basic message. I don't know. I don't know what direction they're going to take with it, but that first promo, he's probably been thinking about this for so long. Maybe he didn't really realistically think it would ever happen, but now it is. He's got a few weeks. Whatever downtime he's got, he's probably thinking, he's mulling over like what I'm going to say, coming up with lines and stuff. I'm telling you, man, that first promo, I'm looking forward to that. But we just got to be patient. Unfortunately, it sucks because the week after this major angle, there's no Rock. And there's no Cena. And it's bad enough we didn't have them on Monday or Friday. I don't think we're going to get either one of them on Monday or Friday next week either. We got fucking Cody on Miz TV. Who gives a shit? That's pretty much all we're going to get. I don't even think we're going to get The Rock. Thankfully for Cody, we're not going to get Travis Scott. He may go after the other ear.
Off is the direction you can fuck.
Eminem with the $22 super chat. Thank you, brother. We're 7 out of 10 on the goal now. Thanks in part to you. Thank you, brother. The Miz, speaking of which, he was in the back talking to Carmelo Hayes, and Nick Aldis was also around, and Miz pitched Mello Don't Miz TV. Oh, my God. Ugh. Mello said if the final boss came to him, he would have done what John Cena did. And he mentioned Fortnite, said something about Fortnite. Randy Orton walked in and he says, Fortnite, Fortnite's for kids. I'm an Elden Ring guy, which he is, by the way. That's a shoot. Apparently, Randy Orton's a huge mark for Elden Ring, and he's got hours and hours and hours playing this. It's probably all he's been doing for the last 4 months, working out and playing Elden Ring. Aldis said it looked like Randy was itching to get back in the ring, and he made the match for next week. It's going to be Carmelo Hayes against Randy Orton. And you know what that means? Another loss for Carmelo Hayes. All Mello does is miss. That should be his new catchphrase. All I do is win. All I do is miss. Put that on a t-shirt. We had Drew McIntyre one-on-one against Jimmy Uso. One man has a clear path to WrestleMania. The other man has nothing. Quite the dichotomy here between these two.
It's the amazing Gunthar.
Oh, my boy is here.
Jerry Lawler loves Gunthar the Magnificent. All hail Gunthar.
The Mighty One is with us tonight. That's what I like to see. That's what I like to see right there. When I see Gunthar, man, that puts me in a great mood. Heart of Debonair with a $50 drop. I'm going to be reading all of these messages in just a little bit, so don't go nowhere. I got to talk about this match here and a potential injury to Drew McIntyre. So Jimmy jumpstarts the match. He comes out second, and he jumpstarts it right away. He attacks Drew. He goes for a suicide dive on the outside. He jumped into an elbow. Anyway, they end up on the outside. Jimmy tackles McIntyre over the announce desk, and they go to commercial. 2 minutes into the match, they go to commercial. They come back. Jimmy hits a Samoan drop for a near fall. And he goes to the ropes, right? He's climbing to the top. Drew meets him there. He wants a superplex, and he's setting up for it. And Jimmy ends up shoving him off, and he lands on his feet. When McIntyre lands on his feet, though, it looks like his knee buckled underneath him. He had the spaghetti legs, and he immediately clutches his right knee. The referee comes over. She's, you know, checking on him to make sure that he's okay. It looked like maybe he tweaked it. I wasn't sure. Maybe he was just selling it. I thought, okay, he's just selling the knee, maybe. But all of a sudden, from this point on, there was a lot of communication in the ring between everybody, but between McIntyre and Jimmy, right? They're chatting away, and the referee is right there trying to listen in. Then Jimmy goes to the ropes. He immediately climbs to the top. McIntyre's down on the mat, and Jimmy is now communicating with the referee. And you can clearly see him and hear him tell him to move. So Jimmy comes off the top with a splash. Drew moves out of the way. And McIntyre, he was okay enough. He wasn't really limping. He gets up to his feet. He hits the ropes. And he hits a Claymore kick. And he pins him. So they basically went right to the finish. And he wasn't so bad off that he couldn't walk. Couldn't put any weight on the knee. But there was definitely something going on here. He definitely hurt his knee. I don't know how serious. It didn't look that serious, but you can't really tell. I mean, you know, he's running on adrenaline out there until he goes to the back and has it checked out. Who the hell knows? But remember, was it last week? I told you that McIntyre posted a video right before the show where he just filmed himself getting liquid drained out of his knee. Like, they took a lot out of his knee. I don't know if it was the same knee, if it was the right one or not. It would make sense if it was. So maybe he's just got this nagging knee issue and he aggravated it, tweaked it. Hopefully that's all it is. When the match was over, he gets out of the ring. And the other thing about this match, too, I should mention, half the match happened during the commercial. There really wasn't much else to speak of. Half the fucking match took place during the commercial, which really hurt the match. The match wasn't really much of anything. He leaves the ring, and he starts, made it maybe halfway down the aisle. But then he stops, and he turns around, and he begins to walk back towards the ring. Damian Priest shows up, and he ambushes him from behind, knocks him down on the ground, starts putting the boots to him. Referees come out. They pull Priest off of him. Priest is going crazy. He's calling him a scumbag. He says, I'll kill you. I'm going to come after you every single week. I'm going to kill you. They have 6 weeks to really heat up McIntyre and Priest. It just feels like such a step down from what McIntyre was doing previously. You know, he was targeting the bloodline. He was going through each member of the bloodline. He was supposed to go after Roman Reigns last. And he went after him at the Royal Rumble, I guess, but they kind of cut that whole thing off, right? He was supposed to be targeting each member of the bloodline. What happened to that? Well, I'll tell you what happened to that. What happened to that is we got very close to WrestleMania, and they have other plans for Roman Reigns. And so that story had to go to the wayside. So he had that going on. The stuff with CM Punk was one of the best things all year last year. And so now it's like, all right, he's going to be wrestling Damian Priest. It's a step down for McIntyre. Priest is new to SmackDown, so he's still trying to find his footing on Friday nights. But the breadcrumbs have been there for a long time, even before the Royal Rumble. Right? It goes all the way back to last year's WrestleMania, when Priest cashed in Money in the Bank, won the championship from McIntyre. They had a match at Clash at the Castle a few months later. CM Punk was the referee. And then, of course, the Royal Rumble, where Priest eliminated him. Priest eliminated him again at the Elimination Chamber. So everything has been set up for these two to have a match, right? They could always change their mind, but they're not going to. But they have 6 weeks. Hopefully, you know, whatever they come up with, it'll really turn the gas on and get me excited for this match. Right now, though, I just hope that Drew is okay and whatever happened to the knee is not too serious. DIY. They were in the back. They were being interviewed by Byron Saxton. Johnny Gargano said the tag team division is on fire right now. Oh, it's on fire right now. I don't think that, not quite in the way that he meant. But yeah, I would say that tag team division's on fire right now. Says there's a lot of great teams, but they said the best team in the world is DIY. Actually, that would be Fraxium in NXT. Ciampa said that all the teams want what DIY has, and he talked about the Street Profits' new attitude, and Gargano chimed in saying that hope is a dangerous thing, and the Profits have hope, but their dream is already dead. And Ciampa then did his moment of silence bit, this time for the Street Profits' dream of becoming tag team champions. The main event was LA Knight challenging Shinsuke Nakamura for the other United States Championship. This was our second United States Championship match of the night. Nakamura came into this champion for 98 days. 98 days, okay? In those 98 days, since winning the title, prior to tonight, he defended the title once. And that one time was against LA Knight. Quite the reign that he's had here. So he got a full entrance, right? Again, the presentation for him is very good, right? So his entrance now is longer than the fucking Undertaker. So LA Knight had to stand in the ring while this guy got in the ring and got down on his knees and he took his mask off. He took everything off. So finally we get the introductions from Lillian Garcia and the match begins. After one last commercial break, LA Knight hit a pop-up power slam. And then we had a very scary spot. They were on the ropes. Nakamura was actually standing on the middle rope. And Knight was on the top rope. And he was setting him up. And again, there's a lot of talking going on up there, making sure, okay, you ready? And so he gives LA Knight a back suplex. But he really like over-rotated and kind of landed on his side, like on his shoulder. But it looked like he was going to land, I mean, like almost on the top of his head. It was a scary landing. He kind of contorted his body almost at the last minute, and it was a very rough landing, and referee went over to check on him. He almost broke his fucking neck, is what it looked like. Thankfully, he was okay. Knight hit a clothesline on Nakamura as he came in for the Kinshasa. So now both men were down. Nakamura went to the top. Knight did his leaping superplex spot. He nailed it. He went back to the top, did the step-up leaping elbow drop, and he called for the BFT. Nakamura, though, pushed him away, rolled to the outside. So Knight goes outside after him. He stops Nakamura from hitting him with a chair because as he's walking over to Nakamura, Nakamura tries to hit him with a chair, but he grabs it and he stops him, takes the chair away, and then has to stop himself from using it because Charles Robinson, the referee, looks at him from the inside of the ring and says, if you do that, you'll be disqualified. So he doesn't hit him with the chair. They end up back in the ring. Nakamura now has the chair. Robinson grabs it, throws it away. Nakamura is about to go for the red mist. Okay, he's going to mist LA Knight. Accidentally ends up misting Charles Robinson instead. Now he's got red goo all over his face. This has not been a good week for a little Natch. Okay, between getting misted tonight and then what Kevin Owens did to him at the Elimination Chamber. This man is 60 years old. He shouldn't be in there taking bumps like this. Knight tried to roll up Nakamura. but there was no referee. So he only had the visual pin. Nakamura came back with a Scorpio rising kick, which of course is the move made popular by one Mako Satomura, who is retiring at the end of next month. I believe April 29th is her retirement date. So Nakamura grabs the chair again. Knight kicks it out of his hands and then lands a BFT on the chair. Makes the cover. Here comes another referee. That referee counts three. LA Knight gets the win. LA Knight once again the United States champion. And fireworks shot off very quickly. He climbs on the ropes. He's posing with the title. And they went off the air pretty quickly. I mean, clearly they were running low on time. And I just thought, thank God that's over. 98 days of shit. Seriously, what a terrible run as the United States champion. And as I sit here, I'm thinking to myself, what was the point of even taking the title off of LA Knight in the first place? What was the point? If the point was to get the belt off of him and build to him regaining it at WrestleMania, all right, you want to give him a WrestleMania moment, I can understand that. But they put the belt on him tonight. Now what? What was the point? That's my first thought. Now, I would say back to the doldrums for Nakamura, but where to next? I'm not sure that LA Knight and his run here now as the United States champion for a second time is going to last longer than a week. Okay, the key now is going to be what happens on next Friday's show. Because I don't think that we've seen the end of this. This is not over. Anybody thinking like, all right, well, back to catering for Nakamura. Who's next for LA Knight for WrestleMania? I would say not so fast. Because the original referee got misted. Very possible that this ends up almost like a dusty type finish where Charles Robinson says, look, Nakamura is disqualified. Right? I'm the original referee. I'm the referee of record here. What happened with the other referee, I supersede that person. He misted me in the face. He's disqualified. Title may end up going back to Nakamura for all we know. At the very least, I'm sure Nakamura, you know, he'll protest or whatever. He'll probably get a rematch. We're not done with these two. I am not convinced at all that we are done or that this title reign for LA Knight is even safe. So we'll have to find out next week if I'm right or not, but don't be surprised if they drag this out until WrestleMania in some form or fashion. Don't be surprised. Because I look ahead like, okay, let's say it is over, right? Nakamura is done. Who's next? Who's next for LA Knight? Have they done a really good job of building up Carmelo Hayes to challenge for the championship? He loses almost every match that he's in. And now it looks like he may be doing a tag team thing with The Miz. Mello don't Miz. Who else is there? Who is LA Knight if he is the champion going into WrestleMania? Name me a heel on SmackDown right now who isn't already going to be occupied in a WrestleMania match who you would say, ah, okay, that's the guy. That's the match for LA Knight. Kevin Owens is occupied. The Bloodline stuff, you got Jacob Fatu and Solos. Look, I suppose if Solo Sikoa ends up not having, a WrestleMania match, Jacob Fatu could get a U.S. title match. That is possible. LA Knight made the comment in his backstage promo earlier, like when Jacob got taken out earlier in the show. Remember, he said, well, all gas and no brakes. I guess I don't have to worry about your big ass tonight. Maybe Jacob Fatu is going to win the United States Championship at WrestleMania. Outside of that, I can't think of who else would be a good challenger right now that they have set up for LA Knight. I don't know who that would be. Fatu, yeah. Probably Fatu. You know what? I would actually much rather see that match. Let's do that. Let's keep the U.S. title on LA Knight. Okay, none of this dusty finish crap. And then let's set up Jacob Fatu and LA Knight for the U.S. title at WrestleMania. I like that idea better than doing Jacob and Solo. Even though that's probably what we're going to get. Escobar. Andre says, what are you out of your mind? Escobar? What has Escobar done to deserve a United States championship, man? He's another one, by the way. Like Hayes. All he does is lose. Aleister Black returns and fights LA Knight. So his first match in, he's going to challenge for the U.S. title? You could do it. I don't really see it. Tama Tonga, no. Tonga Low, oh, well, I mean, yeah, of course. Tonga Low is super fat. I know who he would want to challenge LA Knight. Andrade, we've seen it already, dude. Like, we had a best of seven series, and they challenged for the title, and they lost. I have no interest in seeing Andrade back with LA Knight again for the U.S. title. All these names that some of you are throwing out there right now, Escobar mentioned again. Escobar is underrated. I don't deny that. I don't deny that. Look how they have been built up on TV. Triple H has done a terrible job of building these guys up for a match, a title match of any kind, at WrestleMania. So when you throw these names at me, I'm looking at them going, eh, I don't see it. Yeah, they're talented, but it doesn't get me excited. They haven't given me a reason to believe that these men should be taken seriously as challengers for the U.S. title. So they have these people on the roster, and I'm like, I'm completely overlooking them because you're not going to build them up in 6 weeks. There's not enough time. You've had all year to build up some of these people. They've had all year to build up Carmelo Hayes, right? The number one draft pick. Look at where he is now. He's in a worse position now than he was in before. You can't build them up in 6 weeks. It doesn't work that way. The only segments that I would say, if you are in a quick, you're in a quick fix here, you're in a rush, and you want to know, what do you want to watch from SmackDown? What should I watch from SmackDown? Watch the Cody promo, and watch the Bianca and the Naomi segment. And then if you want, watch the main event. Honestly, the two U.S. title matches, they were both solid. But watch the main event and the two talking segments, and that's it. Honestly, those are the highlights of the night on this show. The rest of the show I thought was very dull. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of SmackDown from Philadelphia? Roughly 72% thumbs up, 28% thumbs down. Boy, you people are easy to please, huh? 72 to 29, roughly. With roughly 1,000 votes in. At Solomonster on X. That is where you can go. You guys already know that. I mean, some of these names that you're throwing out at me, I don't know if I should take you seriously. Are we watching the same show? You've got to be kidding me. Oh, man. All right, let's take a look at your messages here. We got ourselves two rounds of Be the Booker tonight that you guys have unlocked. Do you know that? You've unlocked two of them. I love it. A Prince Vegeta with a 999. You said that Cena should attack R-Truth to get heat because he is beloved. I would actually be happy for a Truth beatdown because he's been doing this moronic comedy shit for over a decade. It is annoying. Man, not a fan of R-Truth, huh? I think we're going to get it. I think something bad is going to happen to R-Truth at some point. Staring Shrek wanted to ask about advertising on the Sound Off. I have a wrestling podcast that needs a little oomph to get us out there and would love to advertise on a good show like yours. Shoot me an email. TheSolomonster@gmail.com. Shoot me an email with the same request information. I'll let you know how we can make it happen. Boots with the $20. It may be the booze talking, or it could be the boots talking. But that segment with Bianca and Naomi got me in the feels. As well as Chelsea Green cosplaying as Cactus Jack and Mia Yim twerking, it was a night with a roller coaster of emotions. Yeah, I'm going to say it's probably the alcohol talking. That would be my guess. Tony Baloney McCall, a solo. Here's a suggestion, since WWE is bringing back classics. Bring back Easy Lover for Madison Square Garden for Monday or Tuesday. It's been almost 40 years since we've heard it for WrestleMania 1. Same building, why not? You know, I don't think most people would really remember it or associate it with WrestleMania. I remember it. But it doesn't have the kind of connection to the show like Obsession did with Saturday Night's Main Event. So to them, it's probably not even worth it to look into the rights, whatever the rights would be to use it. Holiday 197, the fact that Cena was not on the show tonight deflated his heel turn. They should have booked him to appear tonight before they did the turn. GMB, more pointless title reign, Nakamura's or Private Party's? I mean, they were both shit, so I don't really know that one is worse than the other. They were both awful. I mean, honestly, the more pointless was Nakamura. You forced me into an answer. The more pointless one was Shinsuke Nakamura. Because at least with Private Party, the objective was they're going to be transitional champions. They got the titles off the Young Bucks to put them on the Hurt Syndicate. In the case of Nakamura, he beat LA Knight to win the title just to lose it back to LA Knight. I'd say that was more pointless. The other one at least had a point. This one had no point. But that's what happens when you don't have a whole lot of strong heel challengers for the title. You end up doing something like this. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. Calling all you men out there, all you wrestling fans, once upon a time, Shawn Michaels lost his smile, and he had to go find it again. Well, he did find his smile, and if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean that you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who have found their hair again. Hair loss is way more common than you may think, but that's why I'm here, to tell you about a solution to that problem so that you can avoid all the stress and all the self-consciousness that comes with losing your hair, so you don't even have to talk about it. Because really, who wants to talk about that? Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. You know, it can be discouraging to look in the mirror and find a head looking back at you that doesn't look like what it used to. That's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple. With doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. See, you got options. Better yet, Hims makes the process simple and convenient, and it is 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. You don't need to have a panic attack just by sitting in their waiting room. This takes all of that stress out of the equation. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is then sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/solomonster. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Boots. On Sunday, the Revolution will be televised. I'll show myself out. He says the revolution will be televised. Well, I can't disagree with you on that. You son of a bitch. No lies detected there. We've got Fire Panda, who says, I beg of you, Sala Monster, please play 2K25 as this is the best showcase mode they've done, and Heyman is absolutely fantastic as the host. Sincerely, humble servant Fire Panda. I would consider it. I don't think it's out yet. Thank you, Fire Panda. Thank you for sharing that photo earlier. I appreciate it. Trill Mexican. At this point, even though I'm a wrestling fan, I'd love to hear Sala Monster talk about wrestling when he plays Back to Love by Ultra Boss. That matters to me so much more than the review. Trill Mexican is the biggest fan of that song. NJC, congrats to the megastar, with everybody saying. Hope he has a good reign and wins Money in the Bank. Have to capitalize on his momentum and get him into the world title picture. Yeah. He's not winning Money in the Bank. The Juliet says, hell has frozen over. Lex Luger is in the 2025 WWE Hall of Fame. Never thought it would happen. Oh, I knew it would happen. I didn't know if it was going to be this year or next year. But I fully expected at some point he would go in. Eminem. With the 25. We had to activate Brimo tonight. We got the best crew on YouTube, but we're missing that one special person. All you need to do is hit the deck. But tonight's SmackDown was good. Naomi should get the Oscar for that promo. Let's not go quite that far. Let's not go quite that far. But she did a very good job. David Thiering, with Danhausen on the Hog Show next weekend, I had a thought. Wouldn't it be funny to see Danhausen curse the good Dr. Hillary P. Wisdom? Well, I mean, I curse him every month, so I don't know that it's going to really make a difference. But sure. That's fine. Yeah, we have Danhausen on the show. We have Private Party on the show. We have Mercedes Moné on the show. Indy Hartwell is on the show. That's next Saturday. Janelle Grant is back again. Solo, you're the man. Thanks for your hard work on the stream. We all appreciate it. Thank you, Janelle Grant. And best of luck to you. I'm rooting for you. Deb to Dust. I feel like Sala Monster is a Jets fan. It's the Mets and Jets and all the rest. I feel like I've talked about this before. Holiday says, it looks like the 2025 WWE draft is coming in April or May 2025. Wait, who said that? Was there news about the draft? What do we need a draft for? We just had a transfer window. The fuck do we need a draft for? Which bigger players would you move? I wouldn't move any. I mean, look, we just had a transfer window. The hell do we need a draft for? They just moved McIntyre and Priest and AJ Styles and a lot of the key players I would have moved. I mean, I don't think Roman and Cody need to be on the same show. But, I mean, I don't know where you're seeing this, but we don't need a draft. Dan Richards, 21 months of channel membership. Dan, thank you. Completely disagree on a John Cena music change. John Cena sucks chant fits his music perfectly. Do not change that. Now, you got to change the music. You got to change the music. People are going to chant John Cena sucks at him regardless, whether it's during the music or when the music stops. They were already chanting it tonight. Eminem. I think the moment that Lash and... I think you mean Jakara. I don't know why it says Karachi or Karahi. How did it autocorrect to that? Lash and Karahi joins Nimoy. What the fuck is going on here? I think the moment that Lash and Karahi joins Nimoy, Metaphor will be no more. As crazy as it sounds, I see DIY, Pretty Deadly, MCMG, and the Street Profits in a ladder match for the tag team titles at WrestleMania. Well, the second half of your super chat turned out, you know, to be in English. I don't know about that first part. I like Nimoy. Maybe that could be her new heel name. She goes from Naomi to Nimoy. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? How's that for a name change? Leonard Nimoy. Yeah. Bobby Means. Chelsea Green could be vying for the WWE women's title around SummerSlam. I could see Meechan winning the U.S. title and feuding with a heel Naomi. Well, there is no more Naomi. It's now Nimoy. And I could definitely see Nimoy winning that U.S. title. But not from Chelsea. Chelsea's going to have to lose it to a babyface first. So, I mean, it could be Zelina. Could be Zelina, then Zelina drops it to Nimoy. Heart of Debonair with the $50 super chat. Solo, two ideas for heel Cena. One, what if he taps into his Boston roots and dresses like mob boss Valor track suits or suits like red carpet Cena? Tony D'Angelo dropped the belt, he can join him. Jericho, I am the best in the world at what I do gimmick. No, that's not the way to go. I mean, you want to do Hollywood Cena and have him come out like in a suit. I mean, that's fine. The rest of it, though, like Tony D, like, no, keep him away. He has nothing to do with this. But like, you know, a tracksuit? What is he? Is it Paulie sitting outside of Satrial's reading the paper? You want to turn John Cena into Tony D'Angelo? Heart of Debonair, come on now. You've got to be joking now. Retro KOH, I expect Cena to win, but what if Cody adopts a finisher and actually makes Cena tap out at WrestleMania? The antithesis of never give... Oh, it's going to happen. Heel Cena's going to give up. It just may not be a WrestleMania. But let's say he wins the title. When he loses it, he should absolutely give up. Absolutely. We haven't seen him give up since, like, 2003. Right? Didn't he tap out to Kurt Angle, I think, on a pay-per-view? Super Pony, they keep mentioning on commentary how Owens has not held a single singles title in 8 years. There has to be a big payoff here, right? No. They've been mentioning for like 6 months how the Street Profits haven't won the tag team titles in like 4 years. I mean, they may finally win them soon, but they've been saying that for months and months, and it hasn't gone anywhere, so it doesn't mean anything. What title is he going to win? He could win the U.S. title if L.A. Knight has it. He could beat L.A. Knight to win the U.S. title. But that wouldn't be until after WrestleMania. Eminem, it's interesting that Rock and Cena did not appear this week on TV, but the end of Elimination Chamber is still buzzing. Hopefully AEW will make some noise for Revolution this Sunday. If Samantha Irvin is there, then it is buzzworthy. No, it's not. I mean, you're saying buzzworthy I mean, you're making a comparison to like WWE having the buzz that they have coming out of Elimination Chamber. I think even on an AEW level, Samantha Irvin coming in, I think would be a cool move for Ricochet. Buzzworthy, it's not going to generate any buzz for the company. And as far as the finish that I would do for the main event, I'll talk about it on Sunday when I do my predictions, but I posted it on Twitter earlier. I believe Jay White is leaving Los Angeles on Sunday as the AEW World Champion. And that will be the first step in the process of the Edge and Christian reunion. What do you think about that? Nick Grasso, congrats to Lex Luger on his Hall of Fame induction, but I wish people would stop with nasty Miss Elizabeth comments. He owned his wrongdoings. What do you think of the natural disasters going into the Hall of Fame? I'll be talking more about this on Sunday, but I mean, I don't have an issue with them going into the Hall of Fame. I have an issue with them going into the Hall of Fame above a certain other tag team that I thought was going in this year. And apparently they're not. And I don't think that Typhoon should be going into the Hall of Fame as Typhoon. I think that if he goes into the Hall of Fame, it should be as the Shockmaster, because that is one of the all-time great wrestling moments. It has brought so much joy to so many people. He deserves a Hall of Fame induction for that alone. Eminem says, seal this double be the Booker with a kiss. There it is. 10 out of 10. We're going to get to that in a minute. Jamie Dorsch, Demolition was before my time. What are some matches that I should check out as I have never seen any? Well, for sure, you should check out the match with Andre and Haku from WrestleMania 6. Not that it's a great wrestling match. Andre could barely do anything at that point. But it'll show you how over Demolition was. When they get that three count and they win those titles in Sky Dome, which is where they were on Saturday for the Elimination Chamber. Just listen to that crowd. Just watch that crowd and listen to that crowd. But Demolition had great matches with the Rockers, Brainbusters. Even Strikeforce, WrestleMania 4, you know, when they won the titles. Heart Foundation, you want a match? I'll give you a good match. 2 out of 3 falls. Heart Foundation, SummerSlam 1990. By that point, though, they had Crush. They brought Crush in. Axe wasn't able to wrestle for a while, so they brought in Crush. It wasn't the same at that point, but yeah, they basically became a trio. That might be the best Demolition match, though, honestly. So that SummerSlam match. Fucking love them. I love the finish. I smoke a lot of weed. He's back.
Oh boy, I got a contact high. I've been smoking a lot of weed. I smoke a lot of weed.
$4.99. Look at this guy. Randy hearing voices. After a decade, are seeds being planted for aligning himself with Cena? He did mention Cena as his friend after all. No. No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be very interesting when we get that first babyface Orton heel Cena match. Because we've never had that before. That's going to be different. DEH Sires, ironically enough, I think MJF is Cody's replacement, assuming he jumps in the next 2 years. I don't see Braun being a top babyface soon enough. We don't know how much time he has left on his contract in AEW. MJF will absolutely end up in WWE. But as he points out, he's 28 years old and plenty of time left. He will make that jump. I don't know that it'll be in the next 2 years. He and Cody, I think, could actually go on to have a pretty legendary feud in WWE. They could be like 1A and 1B in that company, depending on what Roman's doing at that point. Duff's Vids. Why can't pirates finish the alphabet? They get lost at sea. It's not bad. That's not bad. Keep working on that. You're improving. WWE Iceman 96 V12 says March 17th, 2005 is the date of the SmackDown episode that Cena debuted The Time Is Now. 20 years later to the day, we may hear a brand new Cena theme. I think there's a very good chance that we hear a new theme. I just hope it's not the Def Rebel special. Tongaloa Superfan. What are your top five Tongaloa matches thus far? Thank you, Tongaloa Superfan. Evan Watson. You think women will truly main event WrestleMania again? What do you mean truly? They either main event or they don't. They main evented night one. So, night one counts. Do I think it'll happen again? Yes, I do. Not this year, but I think it'll happen again. Bread Heart. 36 months. 36 months of channel membership. I bet that for every dumb tweet or message you get, there are at least 20 messages of people telling you how your show helped them in a way. Thank you. I do. I do get a lot of those messages, and it's very cool. Never ceases to amaze me. Never know what someone's going through. And sometimes just hearing that familiar voice in their ear, you know, could kind of calm them down or just put them in a good headspace. So any way that the show helps people, man, I love hearing that. The Mount Vernon Kid, Christopher Bennett. I thought Naomi would have revealed that she had some help with Jade Cargill. Still feel that this would have been the perfect time to bring up the Meta Girls. Who says they're not going to? It's not too late. Just because they didn't do it tonight doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Nick Grosso, non-wrestling, a question. Are you still watching Yellow Jackets? If so, who's your favorite character? Mine is Adult Misty, played by Christina Ricci. Yeah, I don't know if she's my favorite. I know there's a new season out. So I have not watched it. I think I'm going to have to just go back and rewatch the episodes I watched because I've already forgotten half of it. It's been too long. So I have to catch up with the new season. Super Pony, you mean to tell me that Kevin Owens can't win the World Heavyweight Championship from Yeet Man after WrestleMania? He could. He would have to be traded to the other show, but he could. I mean, apparently, if they're going to have a fucking draft, maybe he will be moved. Actually, that's the thing with Owens. That was always the joke, is that every time they would have a draft, he would always get moved. Always. Tongaloa Superfan, hypothetical question. If in 5 years WWE asked Cena to do another match, would he do it for loyalty to the company? Does his answer change if Vince was in charge? I think that John Cena is serious that this is it. He's made comments kind of like what The Undertaker has done, where The Undertaker said, you'll never see me dressed up as The Undertaker, like the traditional Undertaker gear. Like, he will never wear that again. Cena has said the same thing. When he's done, you will not see him in the jorts ever again. The jorts and the shirt and the hat, like, never again. And he's done. You will not see him in the ring at a WrestleMania in a match. You will not see him wrestling. Look, it's wrestling, right? So wrestlers say shit like that, but I take him at his word. I mean, he sounds serious about it. So I'm going to say no. I think when this year is over, that's it. I think he's done. And I don't think they're going to ask him. because I don't know that they, I mean, especially if business is what it is now, it's very different years ago when the company, maybe business was lean, people get hurt, they need a big attraction for WrestleMania, so they go to Austin or they go to somebody and say, hey, we need you to come in and do a match. The way things are with this company right now, as big as they are, I don't know that they need any one person. I don't think that they're ever going to have to go groveling to John Cena, please, you know, please come back. We need you for a match. Like, I don't see that happening. So I take him at his word. I think he's done. But thank you, Tongaloa Superfan, for the non-Tongaloa question. It was a very good one. Chris says, AEW Revolution now has over 10,000 tickets sold. They'll probably end up with maybe closer to 11,000 by showtime on Sunday, which is a very strong number for them. Yes, Steve Austin, I believe, is 60. If he's not 60 right now, I believe he's turning, I think he's turning 60 this year. But again, in wrestling, Austin's a great example of it, right? Austin was done. And then 19 years goes by. And he gets that itch, and they make him an offer, and he comes back. Shawn Michaels was done in 2010. And he came back in Saudi in 2018 and ruined the whole damn thing. I like to pretend that match never happened. He had this great send-off. So you never know. But I think he's done. He turned 60 in December. Okay, so Austin is 60 right now. I wish I looked that good at 60. All right, you guys locked, unlocked, not locked, you unlocked 2 rounds of Be the Booker. Yes, we have blue. We have the blue mic, as you can see, for SmackDown. Perhaps that means there'll be a red mic on Monday. I don't know. We'll have to see. Look at this. Eminem's the first person to notice. You're the first one to notice. Thank you, Eminem. I appreciate you. Cold Stone Steve Austin. All right, here we go. Be the Booker time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Look at these two guys right here. The Hollywood Heels, The Rock and John Cena. They are the Hollywood Heels. Maybe John Cena will come out in a sporty vest, looking like Elvis, just like The Rock did the other night. Then we just need Hollywood Batista back in his denim vest. What color will the mic be on Sunday? We'll go back to black. For AEW, we'll keep it black. All right, tag team Be the Booker. Here we go. We begin with Indu Share. Look who it is, everybody. Veer has come to Be the Booker. We have Veer. And we have Sangha. Didn't have much of a run, did they? They did have Jinder Mahal as their manager, though, very briefly. And they are going to be wrestling The Miz and R-Truth. As quickly as Veer has come, he has gone. Goodbye. Women's Be the Booker. Well, well, well. Say her name and she appears. I mentioned Mako Satomura and her finishing move during the main event tonight, and I mentioned that she is having her retirement match on April 29th. And look who appears in Be the Booker. How about that? Mako Satomura. This might be her retirement match here in Be the Booker. When she retires, I may take her out. I don't know. Snow Dog's like Belle. Immediate Bell. Mako Satomura is going to be I don't know, man. What do you think? I'm going to give it the bell. Nia Jax. Nia Jax has actually had a bunch of very good matches last year. But I was hoping for a different opponent. Mako might actually bring Nia to the best match she's ever had in her life. I think it could work. Just not the opponent I was hoping, though, for Mako. And now we come to our first of two main events. Look at this. I'm so exciting, right? You guys get two main events. So if we fuck up on the first one, we always have one more. But let's not fuck up on the first one, all right? And guess what? We did not fuck up on the first one because we begin with Bret the Hitman Hart. The best there is, the best there was, and the best that there ever will be. That is how you kick off a main event in Be the Booker. This is going to be an automatic bell because it will be, Devil's Choice. Keep or replace the man that you just picked. Well, what do you think I'm going to do? Shut up. Let's pick again now the opponent for Bret the Hitman. I'm going to pick somebody else. Get the hell out of here. Bret Hart against Konosuke Takeshita. Man, what a match. What a match that would have been. Takeshita's been killing it, man. This guy's all over the place. He's in CMLL. He's in DDT. He's in New Japan. He's in Maple Leaf Pro. He's in AEW. This guy is killing. He's going to kill it. He may have the match of the night on Sunday against Kenny Omega. Imagine Takeshita against Bret the Hitman Hart. What a match. Hell yeah. All right. Well, we didn't get a clean sweep, but we have another chance now because we have a second round. And as you all know, when we do the second round, we will typically add stipulations. So these are a bunch of random stipulations. They're all being jumbled up right now. And we'll pick first. This will be for the tag team match. We'll see where it lands. It's all in good fun. Hardcore. I guess we had one tonight on SmackDown, so we have to have one here and Be the Booker. It was a Philadelphia SmackDown, so very appropriate we have a hardcore match. Of course we do. All right. Get rid of that. We're going to do tag teams first. Hardcore tag team match. Kane and X-Pac, the former tag team champions. I liked Kane and X-Pac as a team. I actually liked them as a team. Do you remember when X-Pac had Kane speak for the first time? Kane was going to use the voice box. X-Pac's like, no, you don't need this. You don't need this. And Kane's like,
suck it, suck it.
God, what a great moment that was. Everybody popped. Kane and X-Pac are going to take on MSK, Nash Carter and Wes Lee in a hardcore match. I'd watch that match. I don't know about you, but I would watch it. Now we pick a stip for the women's match. A parking lot brawl. Hey, there's John Cena. Who is that in the background? Is that Doug and Danny Basham back there? I think it is. So we got a parking lot brawl. Okay. All right. This will work. Sol Ruka. There you go, everybody. Hang 10. Sol Ruka is here. Sol Ruka is going to be a star. Sol Ruka, you don't need me to tell you that, but Sol Ruka is going to be a star. That Soul Snatcher, though, man, she when she hits that move, she can hit it springboard off the ropes, out of the corner. It's a great move. Sol Ruka and Bayley in a parking lot brawl. I dig it. I don't know how they're going to work the parking lot brawl stipula. I didn't see Sol Ruka in a parking lot brawl, but we, you know, we've never seen her in a match like that, so who knows? Maybe she could throw down. She can't really do the Soul Snatcher, though, in the parking lot. That's the problem. It has to be in the ring, so she can't hit her finish. All right, we need one more. We need one more for the sweep. I know we can do it. I know we can do it. There we go. We're going to have ourselves a barroom brawl. So we're actually going to have a brawl in a bar. Okay. Well, now we know what we're doing here. So let's pick. Let's see who it's going to be. In the barroom brawl, the honorary Oos, Sami Zayn. Does he even drink? Has Sami ever had a pint before? I don't know. I don't think Sammy does. Sami Zayn in a barroom brawl against Ryback. Ryback has ruined Be the Booker. We were this close to a clean sweep. Poor Sammy. Oh, man. Well, you win some, you lose some. Sometimes you come close. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. That's a shame. Devin from New Jersey. What can Hulk Hogan do to get an ovation like he got back in 2002 again? He can jump on Peacock and he can play back the shows from 2002. And he can relive it. And Creflo says, hey, Solo, I just ordered my first wrestling shirt. Coincidentally, it's an Indy Hartwell one, but I won't get to see her live next week. Where can I find the stream if available? The show will be streaming on Triller TV Plus. So it will be live, and I will be on the call. And you can order it there. And we'll be announcing soon what she will be doing on the show. Stay tuned. Should be a fun night. I'm going to be at the big event too. The big event is a convention they have. It's going to be in Brentwood, New York. Also on Saturday from 10 to 2. I'm going to be working there. I'm doing some interviews. I don't know with who. I don't know what's going on, actually. I'm going to be there. So if you're going to be there as well, if you see me, say hi. It's going to be a very busy day for me. I'm going right from the big event to the hog show. It's going to be a very busy day. Chris Manson, what matches are you looking forward to on Sunday? A lot of them. I'm looking forward to Omega and Takeshita. I'm looking forward to Ospreay and Fletcher in the cage. I'm looking forward to Tony Storm and Mariah May. And I'm looking forward to, what's the other man? There was one more. Oh, Okada and Brody King. I think that's also going to be... And honestly, Swerve and Ricochet. It's going to be a good show. Navy says, could Cody Rhodes and John Cena switch roles after WrestleMania if it ends up like the WrestleMania 18 match where the fans turned on Rock and cheered Hogan? No. No, I don't see that. I mean, look, you can't discount the possibility that people are going to want to be a part of history. and they're going to want to see John Cena set the all-time WWE record for most world titles. Cena, there's some people that heel or face, he's going to be the sentimental favorite for some people. If they can do a good enough job over these next 6 weeks of really solidifying this heel turn, that won't be an issue. A lot of it's going to come down to how they promote it, how the build goes between now and then, how the promos go. And you'll get a pretty good sense, too, once Cena starts showing up on TV about what the crowd reactions are going to be like to him. It's just tough, though. It's such a unique position to be in where you have this top guy who is so beloved, who's already announced that he's retiring at the end of this year. And so a lot of these cities he's going to be visiting, he's visiting them as an active performer for the last time. Like, you may have people that are going to cheer for him no matter what. You know, tonight you had people chanting Cena sucks. And I think Cody is well-liked enough that the reaction should pretty much be in line with what they're looking for. But you don't know. You don't know what you're going to get. We've never had this before, where you had a big name on the level of a John Cena who has already said, this is it for me. Like, I'm done after this year. And now he turns heel. So I don't know. But do I see there being a double turn? Or the need to, for there to be a double turn? No. Again, it would be foolish to turn Cody Rhodes right now. Absolutely foolish. And look, if you get mixed reactions in some of these cities, that's okay. Right? As long as the people are reacting. That's why John Cena always said, I love the let's go Cena, Cena sucks. Because at least they're loud. At least they're not sitting on their hands. But you just never know what you're going to get until you get there. These international cities, I have no idea what to expect. I'm sure they're going to be loud. They're going to be chanting and singing songs. Are they going to be mostly booing or mostly cheering Cena? I have no idea what the fans in Brussels are going to do. London? Last time Cena was in London, they went wild for him. But that's why I mentioned things like beating up R-Truth and stuff like that. I'm not just trying to be funny. Like, I think you're going to have to do stuff like that to really put over how vicious and sinister this man or him and Rock are going to be here on the road to WrestleMania, and really give fans who might be on the fence or they might want to cheer, really give them a reason to go, man, this guy's an asshole. I like R-Truth, and he bloodied him up and left him for dead. Fuck this guy, you know? It's important, I think, to do stuff like that if you really want to get him over as a heel. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But again, we need him on the show. We just have to wait a little bit longer. If he's overseas filming, you know, there's not a whole hell of a lot that we can do about it. I mean, he could send in a video promo, but I don't think you want to. That would not be a good idea until he has cut the first live promo that he needs to do in person. If he does a live promo on TV after that, if there's a week where he can't be there and he wants to send a video in from the set of his new movie or something, like, that's fine. We should not hear from John Cena at all until he's live in the ring on TV. That's the first time we should hear from him. Too bad that most heel acts get cheered these days. It's not just these days. I mean, you always have a segment of the fans who just like cheering the heels, or they just want to rebel. And whatever the company wants them, or they perceive the company wants them to do, they'll do the opposite. Like, that also happens sometimes. But they've been pretty good. Like, Cody, you know, again, for the people saying turn him heel, like, I thought by now, champion for almost a year, there would be a segment of the audience that might start booing him. They might get sick of him. And it really hasn't happened yet. I'm not saying that there aren't people watching this right now who think Cody is boring or they're sick of him. But I'm talking about when he comes out in these arenas and the music stops and he's standing in the ring and you listen to the crowd reactions, you're not hearing boos. You know, the people are with him. And that's something that you don't throw away. You know, when the time comes where it feels like he's starting to lose the audience, or they're starting to sour on him a little bit, then you talk about what you want to do. But it would just be insane to me for them to even think about turning him or doing a double turn There might be an appropriate time to do a double turn. Just now, now is not that time. You know, it's a testament to him. He's been able to keep the crowd with him this entire time. And that's just not something that you should squander. Will Cena wear a suit like 2008 Jericho? I don't know what he's going to wear, but he shouldn't wear... He should wear something obnoxious. But just not the t-shirt or the jorts or the hat. That has to go. What was he wearing on Total Divas? He was dressed like some frat boy. Maybe he'll come out dressed as a frat boy. A little weird, though, if he's 47 years old with a bald spot, coming out dressed like he's in a college frat. It would get him heat, though. He looked like he's one of the members of the Mean Street Posse. Come out like Seth Rollins. Come out dressed like an oven mitt. He'll have heat with me. A wrestling singlet. I say he can come back. He can show up as Juan Cena in the Lucha Mask. But we're probably going to get Chad Gable in the Lucha Mask soon. So you can't do the same gimmick. Is Cody and Randy ever going to happen? It'll happen. I know Randy wants it to happen. And I think that... I don't know how often Randy Orton lobbies for matches, but I'm sure that if he knows this is Cena's last year, if there was one match he would lobby for, that would be the one. So I'm sure the two of them, even if it's his last match, I could see that being Cena's last match in December. Cena against Orton. But it Cena and Punk... Cena and Orton, those are definitely going to happen. Cena and Roman, I don't think that's going to happen. Cena and Rock is not going to happen. Cena and AJ, I hope we get to see Cena and AJ Styles one more time. You know, if Cena actually does win the title and they want to keep it on him until SummerSlam, I think Cena AJ on one of the PLEs would be a great match. I think that'd be a great main event. Did I watch the Busted Open interview with Stephanie Vicaire? I did not see the full interview. I saw clips. I saw her put the devil horns on Bully Ray, which I thought was very appropriate. Cena and Logan. Yeah, I mean, that's another one that I think we will get, but Cena would have to, he'd obviously have to turn back face first. So if we get Cena, Logan, Paul, that I don't see that happening until sometime in the fall, if it happens. Joe Hendry wants it. Yeah, Joe Hendry's been lobbying for a Cena match. I don't know. The heel turn, I mean, if anything, the heel turn I think would make it more likely. I just don't know when they would do it. I mean, you know, he's not going to win the TNA title. So if Hendry loses the championship, that might be the better time to try to shoot for some. I don't know. I mean, again, they only have him for a limited number of dates. Do they want to burn it on him wrestling a TNA guy? He's lobbying for it, though. Good for him. Cena and R-Truth. Yeah, I could see that. As a TV match, though. Not as a PLE match. Joe Hendry is the one to redeem Cena. Actually, if I'm WWE, people like Joe Hendry, I would have Cena mutilate him. Just like I would have him beat up R-Truth. I would have him beat up Joe Hendry. And I'm sure TNA would go along with it. They would be like, oh, sure, yeah, it's fine. Go ahead. Our guy gets to work with John Cena. And Cena just murders him. Cena winning 17 at WrestleMania and then 18 against Joe Hendry. Cena needs to cut an ECW Heatwave promo. Hey, look, Cody Rhodes went out there on Peacock last week and told Rock to go fuck himself, so all bets are off. If Cena wanted to go out there and really unleash, I mean, you have obviously certain restrictions on TV, but if he's on Netflix, maybe they'll make an exception for him if he wants to go out there and really like cut a John Cena heel promo. Then they might make an exception for that. See, you couldn't do that if you were on USA, if you were on SmackDown. Maybe that's why they want Cena on Raw more than SmackDown. Maybe he's going to go out there and cut some really hardcore promos. Can't do that on Fridays. Cena against Stu the cameraman. Stu's going to get bullied. Stu's going to get his camera destroyed. Stu's going to get his camera broken over his head. Cena against Penta. I don't know, man. There's a lot of possibilities. We're not going to get every match. I would imagine we're going to have to see Cena against some of the younger talents. So, you know, might we get Cena against Bron Breakker later in the year? You know, I mean, that's a possibility. Carmelo Hayes, so he can lose again. Sure. Cena's dad needs to go heel. Cena's dad, you know what? Cena's dad is a heel. Cena's dad has worked, I think, as a heel manager for many, many years in the New England area. So if he needs a manager, actually, Mr. Cena would be perfect. He can manage his son. It'll be like when Jose Lothario managed Shawn Michaels. Only instead of it being a father figure, it would be his actual father. Retro KOH says the WWE site still recognizes Cody is holding two titles. So if Cena beats Cody, wouldn't that be 18 titles? This title stuff is so, it's very dumb. Yeah, I don't even acknowledge the Universal title anymore. I don't know why they still acknowledge it and they didn't just retire that lineage. It's incredibly stupid. I don't look at it as the undisputed WWE Universal title. It's the WWE title, and that's it. I don't care how they're looking at it and what they consider it to be. I haven't looked at it as the Universal title in a very long time. It's very stupid. Remember when Psycho Sid almost killed Jose Lothario at Survivor Series in 1996? He actually hit him with a camera. Hit him in the chest with one of the TV cameras. That's what Cena should do to Stu. Hey, you know what? Don't forget, Goldberg is still supposed to have his retirement match this year. I mean, the belief is that it was going to be against Gunther, but we don't know. It'll do Goldberg and Cena. Cena, in his retirement year, retires Goldberg. I just hope if Cena wins the title, we don't get the spinner back. Please. No belt should spin. Keep that shit away. Vince McMahon made one independent appearance in 2007 for a promotion. Cena was doing a match on that show. It was a benefit, as I remember. Cena's brother was a police officer. There was some sort of fundraiser. They allowed him to do the match, and so Vince made an appearance that night and took an attitude adjustment. And then he left the building and got in his car, and that was it. So that was his one lone indie appearance, unless you count the Memphis stuff from 93. Blue Jay. Who would you book New Jack with in the modern era? I would not book New Jack. I would be too afraid to book New Jack. So I would not book him. I would let other people book him. But if I was to book New Jack, I would book him and CM Punk. Put a mic, a live mic in their hands on Netflix and see what happens. Instant gold. New Jack should come to Hog? No, New Jack would not be welcome in Hog. I would use all of my commissioner power to make sure that he is not in Hog. I would not feel safe. Haku. I said Haku should go in the Hall of Fame this year. When I gave my Hall of Fame prediction class, I thought Cena might go in. I said Luger. I said Haku. I said Demolition, and I said Mickey James. And they went with Michelle McCool instead. Apparently, they're going with Michelle McCool over Mickey James in season 2 of LFG. Gee, I wonder why. I wonder what helped that decision along. But I figure if there was ever a year that Haku might go in, you know, both of his sons are, is it two sons or three? No, it's three, actually. It's Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, and Hikuleo are all in the company. He'd even have them induct him. I can't believe he's not in already. Yep. Haku was tag team champion with Andre at WrestleMania 6. I mentioned that match against Demolition. I love that match. Which Tongan brother was adopted? Wasn't Tama Tonga? Was he adopted? I know at least one, maybe more than one. At least one of the sons is adopted, but like, you know, he considers him, he's his son. I don't know. I thought maybe it was Tama Tonga, but I could be wrong. Lance Anoa'i, I believe Lance Anoa'i is signed, yes. We haven't heard anything about him or Hikuleo. They've been signed for months, and they're kind of hidden away. So they could pop up at any moment. You never know when they may pop up. Who do I think inducts Lex Luger? Probably DDP. I believe Sting is still under a contract of some kind with AEW, so I'm not even... I mean, Sting would make sense, but I'm not even sure he's contractually available to do anything with WWE. If he was, they'd probably get him in the video game. But DDP would make the most sense. Was Prince Iaukea related to anyone in the family? I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Grant says, Sting has an AEW version of a Legends deal. He's got some kind of deal. He's still listed on the roster page. I mean, it's all just so silly. But, you know, one promotion fucks the other, and then the other one's like, all right, fuck you. We're not going to work with you, and this is what we end up with. WWE and AEW don't want to work together. WWE will work with TNA. They will collaborate with the NWA, right? They're allowing Natty to work a show, one of the Crockett Cup events in the NWA in May. She's working a Josh Barnett Bloodsport show. WWE is sending talent to Pro Wrestling Noah, right? They send Nakamura over there. Fucking Omos was one half of the GHC Tag Team Champions. But the two biggest promotions, they can't work together. Well, this has been good stuff. Good questions. I've enjoyed hanging out with you guys. I didn't realize it was 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, don't forget, I was reminded of this earlier, and I was very upset, that it is Daylight Savings Weekend here in the U.S., and we spring forward. So we lose an hour. I can ill afford to lose an hour of sleep. We're losing an hour, so Saturday night, before you go to bed, if you have any clocks that you manually set forward, make sure you set them forward. And I will be back with you on Sunday for episode 904. A lot of news to cover on the podcast this weekend. I hope you guys will check that out. And I will be live. I will be live on Sunday night, probably early Monday morning, talking AEW Revolution. The Revolution will be televised, and I will be live on YouTube when it's over. So, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great night, and I will see you for 904 and the Revolution Recap double podcast coming up on Sunday. Until then, take care, guys.